Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on the Premier Networks on Saturday, February 17th, 2017. This is episode 1463. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by Fracture. Fracture is a photo decor company that prints your photos directly onto glass, then delivers them to your door ready to display right out of the box. Visit Fracture.me and use the code TechGuy15 at checkout to get 15% off your first order. And by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully so you can be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at rocketmortgage.com/techguy. And by WordPress. Make WordPress.com your online home. Plans start at just $4 a month. At wordpress.com/techguy, you'll get 15% off your brand new website today. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. Time to talk tech, computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography, smartphones, smart watches, augmented reality, all that jazz. 888-ASK-LEO, 888. That's my phone number. I'm not just saying random numbers. 888. It's toll free. 888-827-5536. From U.S. or Canada, you pay nothing. It's a toll free number. Outside that area, you can still call. Just use Skype out or something like that. Shouldn't cost you anything because it's you're calling a toll free number, right? 888-ASK-LEO. We have a website, techguylabs.com. So if you hear something, you hear me talk about something, I mention a product, a link, a news story, all of that is posted up on the website. Each page of the site is a show. Each show is chunked up into 3 hours. Each hour is chunked up into segments and questions and answers and all that. It's all written down there. We even put audio from the show after the fact and video too. So you can see that there at techguylabs.com. And that's free. There's no sign up. Don't require you to give us any information. I don't want your email address. You can keep it. Facebook might want your phone number, but you might want to keep it. Did you see this one, the Facebook folks? Oh, this is very typical of Facebook. Oh, really? Oh, that was a mistake. We won't do that again. Facebook apologizes. So I apologize. I think I have to apologize because I've been recommending, been telling you to turn on two-factor authentication. You know, that's a really good way to protect your Facebook account, your Twitter account, your Google account, your bank account, anything you really want to keep secure. If they should offer two-factor authentication, which means a password plus. You know, the password, you know, something in your head, but then they add a second factor, either a fingerprint or an face ID, iris scan. That would be something you are, biometrics, or something you have, physically have, like your smartphone. And so Facebook uses that method. There's a couple of ways they do it. They have a code generator in the Facebook app, so you can use that. But then, yeah, it's kind of a pain, yeah. Or they'll send you a text message via, you know, SMS. That's the text messaging system that is on its way out, but is still, you know, the widely used way to do this. And apparently, because they have your phone number to do the text messaging, they use an automated number, FBOOK, to send that. You know, if you see a message from 36265, that's FBOOK. That's supposed to be the numeric code you use to log into Facebook. But it turns out they were also sending Facebook notifications to that number, even advertising to that number. It's been going on for apparently months. Was discovered by a software engineer from the San Francisco Bay Area. He tweeted about it. This is according to some, unethical behavior, right? Because you give them your phone number for security purposes, and then they use it for advertising. So Facebook, Alex Stamos, who's Facebook's security guy, says, I am sorry. I am sorry. This is Facebook's way, isn't it? Break that. In fact, that used to be their motto. I think they changed it. Move fast and break things. So they move fast, they broke things, and then they apologize afterwards. Oh, I'm so sorry. We're working to ensure that people who sign up for Two Factor won't receive non-security related notifications from us unless they specifically chose to receive them. We're going to fix that in the next couple of days. Not intentional. To reiterate, this was not an intentional decision. This was a bug. You'll forgive me for being a little skeptical because Facebook does all of these, you know, this is so common with Facebook that you start to wonder, well, maybe this is just kind of their thing. Like, well, don't ask permission, just ask for forgiveness. Ask, you know, that's the old rule, isn't it? It's easier to ask forgiveness than to ask permission. So just go, yeah, go ahead and do it. See what happens. See if anybody finds out. I wonder, now we're learning, of course, and I don't like to talk about politics on the show because this is your refuge, right? You can't escape it. It's everywhere. But there's, you know, these indictments handed down by Robert Mueller yesterday involved internet hacking, didn't they? For the Russians were indicted. They created, we knew about this, the Internet Research, Internet Research Association, Internet Research Group, this Russian group. But that sounds benign, doesn't it? What could possibly the Internet Research Agency? What could that couldn't be bad, could it? Well, it turns out they had a $1.25 million a month budget to pose as Americans on Facebook and Twitter, and to sow chaos during the elections. I think in general, right? Information warfare. The special counsel is calling it. 13 Russian nationals and 3 Russian entities were indicted. They'll never see court. But I think what's interesting is, and I wonder, what is Facebook and Twitter's culpability here? It looked like, I mean, among the people who ended up being indicted were some Americans who were selling identities. So this Russian Internet Research Agency, what could be wrong with it? We're just doing research. We're buying American identities. They were doing identity theft. They were buying these identities so that they would look like Americans when they created these groups on Facebook and on Twitter. I think if that was done successfully, you can't really blame Twitter and Facebook. Although for a long time, like more than a year, Facebook didn't say, no, that didn't happen. Then finally, yeah, well, okay. Yeah, well, it turned out it happened a lot. Yeah. Yeah, we admit it. Twitter, same thing. Yeah, no, it's just a few hundred thousand accounts. Now a couple of, a million, I don't know, lots of them. If you ever, it's kind of depressing. If you look at Twitter, a lot of people make a big deal about their Twitter follower count, right? Oh, it's a big number, right? You want the bigger number, better. In fact, in Hollywood, it turns out you can get a better contract, a better movie deal if you have a million and a half, 2 million, 3 million, 14 million followers on Twitter, because that's marketing clout, and you actually make more money for the movie. So I understand the pressure to buy followers, and it turns out people really are buying followers like crazy. Now I think we're guessing that about half the accounts on Twitter are just fake. And Twitter has no incentive to stop that because Wall Street wants them to show growth. They haven't showed much growth in the last few quarters. They've kind of stuck, 300 million users, something like that. But they want, you know, there's a lot of pressure to show growth. So you're not going to say, well, I don't want all those fake accounts. Make them. Make more of them. That's good. And then the research agency, make more accounts. We need more followers. Everybody wins. Except that it kind of confirms what I've thought for a while, which is that Twitter is just full of just like, I don't want to say junk. There's good stuff on it. It's very valuable. I still use it all the time for news and stuff. But it's also filled with just crazy stuff and an outrage. It's like an outrage engine, like it just churns out outrage. People are upset about everything. Everything, all the time. You just read Twitter. Everybody's, I'm mad as heck, and I'm not going to take it anymore. However trivial and tiny, my donut had pink sprinkles on it, and I wanted blue. And it is just, and now we know, at least some of that is fake. Is intentionally stirring up dissent and upset. It's making you crazy. I stopped reading it, to be honest with you. I look for news stories. But I use a separate site called Nuzzle that looks at my Twitter stuff for me so I don't have to and pulls out news stories. Facebook, same thing. Now we kind of understand, yeah, there's this whole market of fake Twitter accounts and Facebook accounts. Some of them Russian. It's a new way to hack a country. We're going to take your phone calls in just a bit. Again, 888-827-5536. 8888 Ask Leo, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Let's get to the phones. Kim Schaffer's ready. She's prepared. She's answering your calls. We'll take your calls right after this. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, here to help. Yes, I am. Along with Kim Schaffer. Hello, Kim.
Good morning.
Help me Happy if Saturday. You can. I'm feeling down. Let's break some computers.
Oh, break them?
Well,
I thought you were going to fix them.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Help. You're here to help, not to
I'm here to
hinder.
Help. Sometimes I worry that maybe, you know, sometimes I'm hindering. But I'll do my best.
Only if you tell them to take it apart and they can't put it back together.
Yeah. Sometimes
which would be me. That's why I wouldn't do it myself.
No, don't do it yourself. You've been answering the phones. You got the board is lit. Who should I start with here today?
I think Johnny in Atlanta. And he wants to make sure he's not being ripped off.
Oh, I like that. I like it when you're proactive, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Considering this stuff. Thank you, Kim. Hello, Johnny. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, Leo. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm excellent. Thank you. I upgraded my internet service a couple of days ago to the gigabit.
Nice.
Yeah, because they had laid our cables a couple of years ago, and they kept delaying when we could get the service. So they finally told me the service was available.
Yeah.
So I guess whatever they needed to do with, you know, a home port or switch, you know, they turned it on, and I wasn't home at the time. So when I came home, I went to fast.com to see what my speeds were.
That's Netflix speed tester. What it really does is test your connection to Netflix, but that's a good start. What did it say?
Well, it was giving me about 300 and something.
No, that's not gigabit. You should get...
No, that's, yeah, I know. So I thought, this isn't right. So I called the tech support to say, do I have everything set up here that I need? I just bought the Aeris.
So you have a DOCSIS 3.0 or 3.1 cable modem.
I had the 3.1.
Yeah.
And I also have the Euro
nice
mesh router.
Now, okay. It is true that an Euro can confuse the matter because Wi-Fi, first of all, is never as fast as wired. So I think the first test to do is connect directly via an Ethernet cable. Your Euro has a second port, so you could do that.
Or I did, Leo. I did. I did all of that. I did the Ethernet wired connection.
And what were you getting for Ethernet? Was that a little faster?
I was getting faster. Now I'm sorry. I was getting the same because this was
same.
I was testing it all times as Ethernet. The interesting thing is, if I ran the speed test on my iPad, my wireless iPad, on the Wi-Fi, I got the same numbers. Okay.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, this is really weird. So, you know, I unplugged everything and plugged everything directly, made sure it was going directly into, you know, the modem and see. And I would still get the same speed.
Now, remember that depending on the age of your gear, you may not have a fast enough network interface card. You need a gigabit network card in your laptop or desktop, whatever you're testing it with.
Right. Okay, let me ask you this. This is my question. On the
by the way, 300 is plenty. But you're paying for 1,000, so I understand.
I know. I was thrilled. Yeah. I was thrilled with the performance I was getting.
So 300 was faster. 300 was faster than you were getting before.
Right. Okay. Well, I didn't realize on my Euro application that's on my iPhone, you know, my iPad, that there's a log in there. You know, I've learned this now.
Yeah, it measures bandwidth. Yeah.
Okay. Now, it's interesting. The day that I switched over, I went from its log, the download speeds, from 103 to 681.
More like it, yeah.
Right. When I was talking to a technician, I said, is that what I should expect, you know, for this gigabit of service? Because, you know, there are other factors, I'm sure, that's not going to give me the ideal speed.
Right.
I sometimes see what you're doing when I'm watching you test your speeds there in the studio.
Well, that's a hard. So we have 10 gigabit, and it's hardwired into. Now, I only can get a gigabit out of this machine, so it's never more than a gigabit, but it's around 900. There's always a little overhead, right?
So what the Euro is showing me, is that my true internet speed, Sam?
Yeah, that's probably fairly accurate. The Eero is hardwired into your cable modem, so it's going to give you the best speed. Now, remember Eero, I should mention Eero's a sponsor of some of our shows, so that's a little disclaimer so people don't say, hey, Leo, you didn't tell anybody. So, but my understanding with all of these mesh routers is one of the things they specialize in is modifying the speeds to different devices to make sure everything gets what it needs. So your Roku, if you're streaming Netflix, might, you know, they want to make sure you're going to get at least 50 megabits for your ultra high def screen. So they may do things. It's called QoS or quality of service. They may do things to shape the bandwidth. Nevertheless, what the Eero is saying is what it's getting. So if it's showing 600, that's, you know, admittedly, that's not 900 or 1,000. 1,000 is the nominal speed, but it's rare to get the full speed. In fact, you'll notice they say up to 1,000 megabits per second. They don't ever say, at, you know, always as fast as that. So I think if you're getting from your Eero about 600, that's pretty good. I'd like to see you get a little more.
Well, it will go over 700 every now and then.
Yeah,
you
know. That's pretty good. There's some overhead in this, you know.
Yeah, I think the highest I got was 718. And the interesting thing is, on my wired computer, which is a desktop, if I do go wireless on that, it goes all the way down to 47. But yeah, if I go to a website, say one that's real heavy in graphics or something, I don't need notice a delay.
Yeah,
I mean, it still seems
47's pretty darn fast. Remember, you're going to a website that 1,000 other people are on. They don't have on. They're probably not giving you stuff that fast, right? Kind of nowadays, I think almost if you're happy with it, you should go with it. Who's the cable company?
It's Comcast.
Yeah. So they also do some burst stuff. So, like, they'll be faster out of the gate and then they'll slow down. You'll notice all sorts of weird things happening. And they aren't really promising gigabit. For a cable modem to deliver 700 megabits is pretty darn good. You're not getting ripped off. Unless you say, well, but you promised me 1,000. And I bet you if you look at it carefully, they didn't promise you 1,000. Something like it. Up to 1,000. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. So I think you're probably... That's pretty darn fast. My fastest DOCSIS 3 Comcast is about 210 or 300 megabits. So
oh, yeah.
I don't have gigabit service.
Yeah, I'm pleased with the service. I mean, I'm pleased with the performance.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to make sure I'm getting what I'm paying for. You know,
the Eero is going to be your best bet, partly because devices, you know, have limitations, but also partly because Eero's shaping it. So I think that's one of the reasons Eero puts that measurement in their app.
Yeah. You know, I had a technician out here, and he was just checking all the wiring, you know, coming into the house. And
yeah, that affects it, too.
Sure
it
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he replaced it all. He did. He replaced the latest switches.
A splitter can cause problems,
yeah.
You know. I mean, there's all sorts of things that can cause problems. I think that for a cable modem, you're getting some pretty amazing speed.
Well, if I had not seen the Eero lawn, I think I'd be a little disappointed.
Yes.
I discovered this while he was here, and he was like, because he was scratching his head as well, why we weren't getting better speeds, even though all the signals were strong.
Right.
And so, you know, when I showed him this, I said, you know, if I'm getting these numbers, I said, I'm going to be very pleased. And, you know, that's the main thing is, like I said, I'm, as a consumer, I'm getting what I'm paid for.
Yeah, and really, that's plenty of bandwidth unless you have a lot, you know, five kids watching Netflix all at once.
Right, which I don't have in this house, so
yeah.
I'm okay there.
As long as you're not sharing a whole lot of it, that you've got more speed than any site you're ever going to visit.
Can I ask you one more question?
Sure.
Question? Sure. I have the first Pixel phone.
Yeah.
I know you love the camera in the second one.
Oh yeah.
Do you recommend upgrading from 1 to 2 just for the camera?
No.
Alone?
No, because the Pixel 3 will be out and before you know it.
Right. That's what I'm thinking.
So yeah, I would wait. The Pixel 1 is great. That's a great phone. I upgrade. Don't ever do what I do. I upgrade because I have to. And I kind of every time I go, I'm not done with this phone. What am I going to get a new one for? But so I would say every 2 years is fine. And I think since the Pixel 3 will be out, you know, before you know it.
Yeah, and I'm pleased with the camera on the
The Pixel camera was excellent. Pixel 2 is better.
The second one.
Pixel 2 is better.
Right.
Yeah, no, it's noticeably better. So if that's like the most important thing for you, then maybe. But I would wait. Well, I would wait.
In my profession, I have to stay on top of the latest operating systems and devices.
You're like me.
Yeah, but not quite at your level. But I do have the iPhone 10, so
yeah.
I do have a great camera.
Oh,
yeah,
great, yeah. I think the Pixel 2 XL is actually better than the iPhone 10. If I have a choice, which I often do, and I carry them both with me, I will take the Pixel camera.
Okay, Leo. Well, thanks
what
so
you,
much.
What do you do, Johnny?
I'm a software developer. This is the second time I called you. The last time I called you, you told me I had a bomb in my house. my family got a big kick out of that when they listened to the call on your podcast. I don't know if you remember that, but I had a swelling battery.
You did, and then you got rid of it now, I hope.
Yeah, and I noticed you had a couple of other callers calling with the same issue.
Yes, yes.
And they,
yes.
Microsoft sent out these big buckets. I mean, it was almost like from a science fiction movie.
I think they've, I remember you told me that. I think they've settled down, though. I think these new Surfaces are all very, very good, and I don't think anybody's complaining about them.
Yeah, and yeah. So I, like I said, I write software, but
nice.
I'm an independent developer, so I like to stay up on things, and I
nice.
Really enjoy your show because, you know, I really enjoy all the stuff. You keep me up to date on a lot of
Thank
stuff.
Thank you.
And by the way, I know Aero's a sponsor, but I would like to say that because of your recommendation, I got that, and I love it.
Yeah, I'm very – that's what I use at home. I can use a lot of different stuff. I have Aero's and Plumes because I have two networks. And I love the Euros. They're very consistently the
I recommended it to my sister.
Robust.
She was trying to cut corners, and she said, the Euros are more expensive. I said, let me tell you, they're worth it. And I said, I love it. And so she loves it, too.
Good. So, hey, Johnny, great to talk to you. I appreciate it.
Okay, thanks, Leo.
Have a great day. All right. We'll see you at the
thanks.
Super Bowl next year.
Okay, sounds good.
Bye-bye. Here's our home theater guru from avsforum.com, Mr. Scott Wilkinson. Hello, Scott.
Hey, Leo, how you doing?
I'm well. How are you today?
Doing great, thanks. Had a wonderful time yesterday at Black Panther.
Oh, you saw that, huh?
Yeah, Dolby Vision, man. It was one of the best high dynamic range images I think I've ever seen.
So they're doing movies in HDR, and you can see them in the theater in HDR, but don't you have to go to a special theater?
You do. You have to go to a Dolby Cinema. Of which there are, I think, over 100 around the country now, which is still not very many, I admit.
It sounds like worth looking for.
Absolutely worth looking for. And there are more and more of them coming online all the time. In the United States, they are hosted exclusively by AMC. So you're only going to find one at an AMC complex.
Okay.
in Europe and there are a lot of them in China. And there are several in Europe, but they're focused mostly in the United States. And I have to say that, you know, some movies that come out, they have to be graded specially for Dolby Cinema using this Dolby Vision high dynamic range. And typically they're mixed in Dolby Atmos sound, which means the sound is coming from overhead as well as from around you. But once they're graded, mastered in that way, and they play in a Dolby Cinema, they can just look phenomenal, like Black Panther. Just looked amazing.
Yeah.
I was amazed. I wasn't amazed with Star Wars, the last Star Wars movie. I thought they really dropped the ball on that one. And it's from the same company. It's from Disney. So how could they do such a good job in one case and not in another? I don't know. But I do recommend Black Panther, not only for the high dynamic range and the Atmos sound, both of which are fabulous, but it's a great superhero movie. It's actually one of the better ones, in my opinion.
Yeah, so, it's getting rave reviews.
Rave reviews. I take a look on AVS Forum. My review is there. I try to go see these things, you know, the first day or so that they're out so that I can write. And
right.
People can – I can tell you what I think, and you can decide whether or not you want to go. But in this case, it's a really good movie. And the – boy, if you can find a Dolby Cinema and see it in Dolby Vision HDR, you'll really get a really good impression of what HDR is capable of.
It's AMCtheaters.com. They have a list of all of them. And there are quite a few.
Yeah.
Now, there's 32 in the Los Angeles area, for instance. 33. They just added another one. So
they just added another one. Yeah, right.
If I watch this at home, am I going to get the same quality if I have a...
You will if you... I would be shocked if they didn't release the UHD Blu-ray in high dynamic range.
Right. So that's my question. If they do, assuming they do and I have an HDR 4K TV... It will be. There's not something they're doing in the movie theater that I can't see on
Okay. No.
I don't have Atmos sound. You might want to get Atmos sound home too.
Yeah, if you can, that would be good. That involves putting speakers overhead, or the alternative is to put up firing speakers on top of your speakers on the ground level that fire up to the ceiling and reflect the sound down from the ceiling. You have to have a kind of a flat reflective ceiling in order to do that, but you can, and that means you don't have to mount actual speakers on the ceiling.
How long? I mean, the theater's going to have to do something to keep people coming to the movie theater, because
if you have
a 4K HDR TV and a nice sound system, you're pretty much duplicating the experience.
Yes, you are, but you're not getting the huge image.
Yeah.
That you are in a theater.
So is IMAX IMAX will never be duplicated in the home, I guess. So,
unless you have a really big house. You have to have a pretty big house. They do have a sort of a home version. Oh, buy the home version. That, you know, it's very expensive. It's in the millions of dollars. So, you know, it's for super rich people, but they do have something like that. But yeah, you're not going to get – that's not the same as going to an actual IMAX theater.
No.
And I would also argue I myself actually like the communal experience of going to a movie and watching it with a bunch of people.
Yeah, see, that's what I don't like.
Some people don't like that, and that's fine.
For something like Black Panther, you'd want to. You want to – if you're seeing Star Wars or a movie with a lot of fans – We went to opening night of the last Star Wars movie, and it is more fun that way.
It's fun. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But there are a lot of movies. In fact, you know, I bet you do this in your family. I do this in our family. We look at the movie and we go, that's for the home. That's home rental.
Exactly.
That's for rental.
Yeah.
And so maybe 1 in 4 or 1 in 5, and I'm sure Hollywood doesn't like hearing this, we're going to say, oh, yeah, we'll go to the theater to see that one.
Right. Have you noticed, I don't know if you've been, when you go to the theater lately, there's often a trailer right before the movie starts with the star or the director who comes on and says, we really appreciate you coming out to the movies.
Thank you, please.
I know. It feels a little desperate, but it's true. You know, the movie theaters are suffering a reduction in ticket sales.
Although this Movie Pass, and now I know there's a few others competing.
Yes.
That seems like that's going to help ticket sales.
I don't understand why
AMC hates Movie Pass so much, because they get the full ticket value. They get the popcorn revenue. They get all of that.
Yeah.
It's getting people in the theater. Why wouldn't you want that? I don't really.
Exactly.
The only thing I could think of is maybe AMC was going to do that themselves. You know, they were going to have an AMC Movie Pass, which would make sense, and now they can't because Movie Pass does everybody. And does AMC actually say no? You can't have tickets. They can't. How would they know?
I don't think so.
I don't think they could tell because it's a credit card, right?
Yeah, as far as I know.
Yeah. Would you? Now,
I haven't tried that myself.
Why don't you do Movie Pass? I probably don't go to enough movies to.
I do, and so to tell you the truth, I've actually been thinking about doing it.
So the idea is you pay. The amount's changed. I think it's now under $10 a month for unlimited movies. So if you went to
if you went to
one movie a month, you'd pay for itself, and you do that. Yeah, more than pay for itself. So and they have some interesting ideas. Of course, they're losing money on it right now, but The potential is there. This is the modern way in Silicon Valley, you know.
Yeah, subscription.
Yeah, we'll make it up in volume. We'll lose money with every customer.
We'll make it up in volume.
Make it
right
up in volume.
I must admit, I need to find out. I don't know the answer to this question about whether or not MoviePass applies to Dolby Cinema.
No, it doesn't.
Does it apply to these
know
specials?
You don't get. You don't get 3D
or IMAX. Probably
you don't get IMAX. I don't know if you'd get HDR though. You might.
You wouldn't, because the only way to get HDR is Dolby Cinema.
Yeah, I think my suspicion
is Laser IMAX. Laser IMAX is HDR. It's not quite as impressive.
Should we see Black Panther in IMAX?
Well, there is an argument for that because they do change the aspect ratio. So sometimes the aspect ratio, which is the ratio of the width to the height, is the normal movie aspect ratio, 2.4 width to 1 height. But in IMAX, it changes. And you know this, in IMAX, sometimes they change the aspect ratio to make certain scenes seem bigger,
fill
taller.
Fill the screen, yeah.
Fill the screen, right. And so in IMAX, you will see that. In Dolby Cinema and any other theater, you won't. It's all the same. So there is, that's one thing that IMAX has that nobody at home has.
Yeah.
So that's one reason to go there.
Yeah.
And they do have pseudo HDR. It's not as much as Dolby Vision. The other thing that's going to come is this direct view cinema, which
we'll save
talk
that
about
for next time. Week. Scott Wilkinson, you'll find him at avsforum.com. Read his review of Black Panther. More of your calls right after this. You don't get 3D or IMAX with MoviePass, but almost everything else, which means you might get Dolby Vision. I don't know. I just don't know.
Well, if it doesn't say you don't get Dolby Cinema,
right?
That's the thing.
That's good.
Then that's good. If you can get a Dolby Cinema, and Dolby Cinema is typically, you know, $3, $4, $5 more than a regular ticket price.
Right.
I typically pay, you know, $20 a ticket to go see Dolby Cinema.
No, it's so expensive.
I know.
All right. I'm going to give you the helm here. Let me just move.
Thank you so much. Straight ahead till morning.
I guess can't do that.
User 5337. My beef is with going to the theater is people chewing.
Yeah, you would have disliked us. Not only do we have a big bag of popcorn for the Phantom Thread, but Lisa brought an apple. Every once in a while, she goes. You know, I think the aesthetes there for the Phantom Thread probably were not enjoying that.
We were not amused. And that's because User 5337 wants to nitpick the movie audio. Well, you know, I do too. I do like going to the theater at home. You don't get the loudness. Well, yeah, I don't want the loudness. So that's one negative for me for going out to the movies. I did measure the levels here, and they stuck within what are called reference levels. So the average level over the entire movie was, I believe, 83.2 dBA, and the reference level is 85. So they were within reference level. But the strongest 1 second peak was nearly 120 dBA, dBZ, flat. So about 110 dBA. So that's a lot. And that's why my wife doesn't go to the movies, out to the movies really much anymore at all, unless it's, you know, a character study or a drama without a lot of explosions and stuff, because it's just too loud for her. It's painful. So Rob, says MoviePass doesn't include things like 3D, doesn't apply to IMAX, RPX, or other large format showings. I think Dolby Cinema is considered large format. I suppose that's open to some question. I'm going to have to look into this, though, because I do go to a lot of movies because I write about them. So I'm going to actually take a look at that. Let's see. All right, Howard. My queen and I were going to see the Black Panther tonight at AMC Orange 30 and Dolby Vision HDR. I love going to the movies for the communal experience. Now, there are drawbacks to the communal experience, no question about it. You know, if you got somebody kicking your seat from behind or, In my case, yesterday at Black Panther, there was a ginormous guy sitting in the seat next to me, and it felt a little crowded. You know, but generally speaking, I really enjoy that aspect of it. Not everybody does, and that's okay. That's perfectly fine. User 53, oh, my thing just jumped here. User 5337, have you heard ELAX B4 and C5 speakers? Are they crisp? Would Godzilla 1998 sound good on them? I don't know about that movie. I haven't really seen that movie. They are pretty crisp. They're very clean, neutral sounding speakers, in my opinion. I think they might have a little bit of a bump in the upper mid range. So yeah, I would say they're probably crisp.
Oh, we missed the boat. I should have talked about the HomePod.
Oh,
I forgot to.
Sorry about that. I jumped in with Black Panther.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888.
Ask Leo.
The phone number. Steve, Portland, Oregon's next. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Leo.
Hey, welcome.
Anyway, I got this 8-inch Windows tablet that I bought from Microsoft at the Microsoft store. And it actually has a 1920 by 1080 resolution on a little 8-inch screen, so I have to dumb it down.
Who makes that?
1024. It's made by New Vision.
New Vision. Well, if Microsoft was selling it at the Microsoft store, that's good.
Yeah, it's got an Intel processor. Anyway, it's been sitting on the shelf for over a year now because I think I bought it Thanksgiving 2016. And so I fired it up, and it wants to do a Windows update to get everything up to date.
Oh, I bet it does. It
says you don't have enough space on your hard drive.
Yeah. Has 32. You have a 64 or 32?
32 gig.
Yeah. this was a big category for a while, this whole idea of these really inexpensive Windows laptops. I'm surprised that Microsoft sold it. They're cool. They're not very fast. But the biggest problem, 2 gigs of RAM, 32 gigs of storage. And that means you literally don't have enough space to update it.
There's no way of moving.
Yeah, well, there's got to be a way. Let me think about this. You might have to.
You could eliminate past updates and some of them, and then or move them to the. I have the 64 gig chip in it for expansion.
Yeah, I don't. It probably has to install it on the internal drive.
But anyway, I come across the YouTube where now you can convert these tablets to play Android. I'm open to getting.
It might even be better as an Android. Yeah, as an Android tab. It was kind of a lot to put Windows on this. Microsoft was giving away Windows on tablets with screens, small screens like this. So there were a lot of them. But the issue of updating bit me as well. I had another very small, it was called a Kangaroo Windows machine, and it just didn't have enough storage to update. I'm going to bet you could download, using the Windows Media Creator, a more up-to-date version of Windows 10 with the Fall Creators Update on it, which is the most recent big update, 1709. And then blast the contents of that drive off and install that. You might be able to do it that way.
Like I said, I've seen this YouTube video where they actually show you.
If you want to do that, if you want to make it an Android device, I'd say, yeah, that's probably a great thing to do with it.
But the problem is it still looks like it requires Windows as a sub-base operating system.
And really? Oh, so they're putting Android on top of Windows.
But I'm looking here at the hard drive specs on this thing, and it actually partitioned this 32 gigs into a C and a D drive. And
yeah.
So I actually have an extra 9 gigs of space on the D drive, but there's not enough on the C drive.
Well, I'm not familiar with whatever technique this video, this YouTube video was using, so I can't advise you on how to do that. truth is, you know, I mean, you paid $80 for this thing, right? I mean, it wasn't expensive.
It was on sale for $50.
$50, okay. You might, yeah, you could either, I would say, and that's kind of what I ended up doing is, well, that is what it is. You know, I'm not going to be able to update it, and that is just, it is what it is.
I had a Windows 7 question if you got time.
Sure.
My buddy's got a virus on his Windows 7 laptop, and I was wondering, can you take any Windows 7 CD? I've got the CD key on the back of the laptop.
No, unfortunately not. They're tied to the manufacturer, so you can't use another manufacturer's Windows installer on a different machine. You can get you can buy the store Microsoft version if you have one that's not attached to a manufacturer like NuVision. You can use that. If he's got Windows 7, though, he has, I hope, I would presume, a serial number. If he doesn't, there are programs that will pull the serial number off from the registry. Get the serial number before he does this. But once he has the serial number, he can download Windows 7 from Microsoft. Please only get it from Microsoft. Anywhere else, you're taking a chance. They call it the media creation tool, and you can get it for Windows 7 and install it. Just wipe the drive, reinstall it, and he'll need his serial number. This is something Microsoft has eliminated with since Windows 10. No more of that. Once a machine is a Windows 10 machine, it stays up to date. You don't need to enter a serial number, but you still have to for Windows 7. So, and somebody's reminding me, and most Windows 7 machines have a hidden partition on the machine with a full Windows 7 install still on it that won't require the serial number. So he may not really need any of this. He should, what he should do is hit the Windows key and type restore and look at the restore settings. And there is a full restore that will just wipe the drive. He should do that. Wipe the drive, start over. He should back up his data. He has a choice of saving his data, but I would back it up and just start all over again. That's the best way to do it. 8888-ASK-LEO, the phone number. Ellie, my friend from Hawaii. Hello, Ellie.
Hi, Leo.
How are you?
I'm hanging in.
Aloha.
Aloha. Anyhow, I have a question for you. That's why I call, because I'm simply safe with Leo. Anyway, I'm thinking about getting an iPad Pro.
Oh, I love now, the Pro.
What's the difference between the Pro and the regular iPad?
The biggest difference is the Pro allows you to use a pencil. So they sell that.
Right,
90,
besides that.
Okay. Besides that. Let's see. Well, it's a much faster processor, much faster and screen that's a better screen. Now, I know you're blind, so this probably doesn't.
Well, I have some vision, so, you know.
Yeah, you might make a difference. It has that new ambient light sensor in it, and it has a much more accurate screen.
Now, what about the picture-in-picture? You get full screen on both sides?
Yeah, but I think you... that's interesting. I thought you got that on the...
I like to use it for the baseball games that's coming up, though.
Can
you get full screen on both sides?
Well, what do you mean full screen? You can get half screen?
You know, with the iPad, you get that little tiny screen on the corner when you go do two games.
Picture-in-picture. That's a good question. That's a really good question. Can you, it's got the faster chip and the faster graphics and the better screen are there.
Which I like that, you know.
And iOS 11 is designed for the pros. So there certainly are things you can do on the iPad Pros with iOS 11 you can't do on the non-pro versions. But I don't know. I've never done this. They make a 10.5 and a 12.9. You want to have... You slide this instead of just the picture-in-picture. You want it to fill the whole half, or
like
the three quarters
of the screen.
Yeah. That's a really good question. Yes, I think you can. But remember, it's going to have black bars because it can't. It's not getting a full screen there. So you can have up to three windows. You'd probably want one third window and 1/2 window with the baseball game in it. Yes, but it'll still have black bars top and bottom, I guess, is the answer. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. So it's not like it fills the screen. Oh, she hung up. She went, and hung up. Well, that means it's time for this cat right here. His name is Scotty, and he is the king of home theater. Do you have have you heard the HomePod yet? Do you have reviewers reviewing it yet at Amy's Forum?
No, not yet. I have read some things about, you know, that it's surprisingly good audio quality, which I'm not surprised about because Tomlinson Holman is in charge of all audio at Apple now, and he's the TH and THX.
Right.
He was the very first guest on my podcast.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah, it was really cool.
He's done a nice job. I mean, I guess what I say is there's physics. I mean, the size means it's not going to sound as good as a large speaker.
Right, right.
But for its size, it's quite good.
Have you heard it?
I have one, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I read some article somewhere that said, oh, this is going to thrill audiophiles.
Yeah, I disagree.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's impressive. What it's done is impressive. They have a 4-inch sub that's high excursion, so it moves a lot of air for its size.
Yeah.
Its size.
Yes.
See, all the reviewers never add the for its size part.
I would if I were me.
You need to. One thing he did do, which is cool, each speaker, there's 7 tweeters and a sub. Each one has its own amp, so there's 8 amps in it.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That is cool.
The 7 tweeters go all the way around, so it's omnidirectional sound.
Yep, yep.
But it's not stereo.
And the woofer points straight up, I think,
yes,
right?
Yes, it points straight up.
Yeah.
They don't use any, you know, reflection off the walls or anything like that. They want you to be 6 inches or more from any surface. It's
interesting.
Yeah, it supposedly adjusts sound as it plays, because it has microphones.
It has microphones, and the DSP listens to the sound that it is making.
Yeah.
And adjusts itself accordingly.
Yeah, that's a claim hard to prove.
Well, I would, for example, break the rule and put it right next to a wall and see what happens. See if it sounds different than out in the middle of the room.
I mean,
for example.
Yeah, well, it doesn't to me, but maybe it does.
Okay, all right.
When it's great for, I think it's, my problem is it's great for people who think of for music as wallpaper, right?
Mm.
It's a music as wallpaper device. So
but
that
so
means,
are all these. So are all these.
They all are. So you put this in your kitchen, and it's non-directional, so it sounds great no matter where you are.
Mm-hmm,
great
mm-hmm.
for music as wallpaper. It is not in any respect, and I'm afraid that when they sell this as such a high-end system, it's not in any mm-hmm. respect a replacement for a stereo for listening.
Right, right. I doubt that you can. You, I don't know the answer to this. Can you link two of them
not
to
yet.
Be stereo?
Not yet.
Mm-hmm.
They say that's coming with AirPlay 2.
Okay, but even if you could, how good a stereo would it be if it's omnidirectional?
Yeah, exactly.
I would question that.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's really the music is wallpaper crowd.
Mm-hmm.
You can get very loud.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, that's a real selling point for some people.
With low distortion, I assume.
Yeah. They actually gate it so it can't get to the distortion level on the speakers.
Interesting.
They block it. So it gets loud, but not loud enough to distort. And then if you can have multiple in one room, and if you do that, it can get to 110 dB.
Oh, man.
If you want. I don't know who wants that. It's not for me. It's for...
To go to 110?
Well, it's not. I mean, it's for the music is wallpaper crowd. I have plenty of those speakers. I don't think if you're listening to music is wallpaper, it matters whether it's... You know, they use the... I call it the Thurman-Munson loudness curve, but I know it's Fletcher-Munson, but I just...
Fletcher-Munson, yes.
They use the Fletcher-Munson curve on it. You can't turn that off.
Oh, interesting. So just for those who don't know, what the Fletcher-Munson curve basically says is at normal volume levels, we are less sensitive. We humans are less sensitive to low frequencies and high frequencies and most sensitive to the mid-range. And so they're taking that into account when they EQ the sound coming from the speaker,
they
which is kind of cool.
End and the high end. Yeah, but if the music is equalized knowing that, that's this is the problem. I mean... You know, if you're really serious, you probably want flatter speakers, and you can apply a curve if you want it.
Precisely.
Because it depends how it's mixed. I listen to it on a lot of different sources. It sounds very good on classical. It's great for voice. It really is good at the, you know, it doesn't have the super, it doesn't have a great bass. Of course not.
You cannot change the laws of physics.
Yeah, that's what I always say. but it's, I mean, it's good for what it is. Although, you know, David Pogue and now Consumer Reports have both done blind listening tests. We did one as well. Mm-hmm. And in both cases, they thought the Google Max was better. The Sonos One was better. The Sonos One is half the price. And you can, you know, you can buy two for $349 and make a true stereo pair out of it.
Wow. But well, again, Sonos, as we know, it's very high quality.
Yeah,
stuff.
For what it is.
For what it is. Yeah.
I still think it's music is it's the music is wallpaper crowd. And so.
Which there is an application for.
That's how most people listen, probably.
I know.
I've never really liked that because there's music everywhere now, and it's wallpaper. It's not, you're not.
And so you're not really paying attention listening to it. Yeah, exactly. It's just kind of there in the background.
Yeah. So I, you know, and so what I did is I put the HomePod in the middle of my stereo and switched back and forth.
Ah, that's an interesting test.
Well, you immediately can see. What I've been saying is, to me, it's not quality you're talking about. It's whether you're hearing all the music. So if you're, I think you would agree with this as a musician, when you're in an orchestra standing there, as we did at Lucas, you're hearing all the music, at least to the degree your ears are capable of it. But you're hearing it all.
Yes.
And then a really good stereo system isn't the same, but it's as close. You're hearing more of the music. And then everything successively smaller and less is – you're getting less of it.
Mm-hmm.
So when you listen to the HomePod, you hear – that sounds great. But then you turn on the stereo and it's like there's more music. Mm-hmm. It's hard to describe, but it's more spatial. You hear more of the low end. You hear more of the high. You hear more music.
Yeah, you hear a sound stage. You hear
you can't do any
separation.
Of that with a speaker the size of a toilet paper roll. You just can't.
No, you can't. It's the laws of physics once again.
So I think it's a little misleading when they say it's an amazing stereophile speaker.
Yeah,
because it isn't. No. It's an amazing speaker for what it is.
Yes. Yes.
So you agree?
I do. I mean, I haven't heard it.
You should hear it.
I will. I can't imagine that it is, you know, truly audiophile satisfying.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't say so
in that sense.
But you know, for a speaker that size, it's closer than anything else, I would say.
Mm. Well, except that as these blind tests showed, the Sonos actually beat it.
Yeah. I always think of sound as sound is more like wine tasting. It's pretty subjective in these kinds
Or figure skating. I've been watching figure skating.
Or figure skating.
The judges are some of that is very subjective.
It's very subjective. You got your technical score, but then you have your artistic merit.
That's right. By the way, watching in 4K HDR, man.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
It's so gorgeous. It is so gorgeous.
Scott, we've used up your whole segment.
That's fine.
Have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
See you next week. Bye-bye.
You bet.
Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography, smartphones, smart watches, all that jazz. HomePod speakers, 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number if you have a question, a comment, a suggestion. 888 Ask Leo. 88, no, no, that's not right. 8888 Ask Leo. There's one too few numbers if it's 88. 888-827-5536. That's the number. 888-827-5536. Give me a ring. Let's talk high tech. I was talking with Scott Wilkinson about this new Apple HomePod. He hasn't heard it yet. I hope he gets a chance. I'm sure somebody at AVS Forum will review it, of course. We're starting to see more reviews. Consumer Reports has not yet done a full review of it. But already, consumer and people are poo-pooing this, especially the Apple crowd. Consumer Reports saying, you know, the Apple HomePod is not as good as the Google Home Max. What? And I would poo-poo it too, except that we did a blind listening test, and the Google Home Max got a vote from our trained musician, Jason Howell, on our new screensaver show. He said he preferred it. The Apple HomePod, very close second. And then David Pogue, formerly of the New York Times, Big Apple fan, now at Yahoo, Yahoo Tech did a blind. He put a muslin cloth over it and had his friends in and listened to a variety of speakers, and they all picked the Google Home Max. Now, I wouldn't, to be honest. I don't think the Google Home Max sounds that great. It's bigger. It is bigger, and it's $50 more than the Apple HomePod. I think for most people, if you listen to the two of them side by side, you'd like the HomePod better. But I think Apple and some of these reviewers are doing us a disservice by comparing it to an audiophile's home stereo. You know, it's not. It's good for what it is, and I think I've said this before. It's good for a little speaker the size of a roll of toilet paper. That sounds really good for that. It probably is as good, if not better, than everything else in that category. You know, given some slop for subjectivity. Everybody has different tastes. You know, it's like wine tasting. You might like something a little different than the HomePod. Apparently, some people do like how the Google Home Max sounds. I think it sounds a little, I use the word tubby to me, a little boomy on the bass compared to the HomePod, which is a little tighter, crisper on the bass. But again, it sounds like we're wine tasting here. I think it has a nutty finish, but an impetuous youthfulness to its overall flow. I think the thing, though, that's really important is that we're seeing, and I guess this has always been the case, but we're seeing a fork in the road among music listeners. And more because we have a generation that grew up with the iPod and listens all the time on their headphones, music is wallpaper to a lot of people. It's just in the background. They hear a song they like, they can dance to it, they can sing along, and then the next song comes on, they're less animated, but it's constant and it's always in the background. And it kind of drives me crazy. You go to Las Vegas, there's music everywhere, constant soundtrack all the time. And I'm sure that's because, you know, the boffins at the casinos say, well, they gamble more if we play them this upbeat, happy music. I'm sure there's some psychology there. I don't like music as wallpaper. I come from a generation where you would, and this will date me, you'd put on your Koss headphones that weigh 8 pounds, and you'd lie on your back with the album liner, because it was a vinyl record, and it had a big album, and you'd read the lyrics, or you'd read the liner notes, and you'd listen to the music. You'd listen intently to hear every note. You'd really be engaged with the music. It wasn't wallpaper. It was what you were doing at the moment. And I think that there is even more now, this attitude. Music is just back. It's background sound. It's wallpaper. It's always there. And I think that does a disservice to the people who make this great music. Not everybody. A lot of pop music is made to be wallpaper, I think. But for musicians who love what they do and they love their art and they're creating an artwork, they're creating something for you to pay attention to. Not wallpaper. And so I think the HomePod, which is great for music as wallpaper, is not great for just like, you wouldn't sit in front of it and stare at it and listen and read the liner notes. You wouldn't. If you're going to do that, get a nice stereo with two speakers. Do yourself a favor. Get some nice speakers and then don't do anything else. You get actually a good pair of headphones, a lot less. That's probably good. Get a nice pair of headphones, put that on, close your eyes and listen to the music. See, to me, that's what it's all about. But I guess I'm in a shrinking minority. So the HomePod sounds great if what you want is ambient music. Great choice. Very nice choice. That's all I'm going to give it. We're going to take a little break. Come back with more of your calls. 8888 Ask Leo. Don't forget the website, techguylabs.com. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. It's picture time. Time for me to pull out my pictures. You know, we used to, when I was a kid, my parents took everything on slides, slide film. And so we used to have slideshows every month or two or three. We'd we'd bring out, remember the old, the Kodak carousel, and we'd look at the slides. We'd put up a screen, and that was how you looked at your pictures. And really, that was the only way you could look at your pictures. Maybe you printed them out and you had them in an album. That was the other way. Nowadays, it's actually, that was better, because nowadays you have many more pictures, lots of great images, and they're all on a hard drive or in the cloud. And how often do you look at them? So I got a suggestion for you. I wish we'd done this when I was a kid. We do it now. Print them. Print them and put them on the wall. And if you're going to print them, can I recommend Fracture? Fracture is a photo decor company that rescues these beautiful images. I know you have some from the digital ether. They print them directly onto glass. They add a laser-cut rigid backing, so they're ready to display. In fact, they even come. This is how this picture came. It comes in the box with a backing to protect it and a screw that you can put in the wall, and then it's got already the pre-cut hole, and you could just hang it right on the wall. It couldn't be easier. And they look beautiful. When you print these images on glass, they just pop. This is an image my wife took of me. Here's one. This is the smallest size, 4.8 inches by 6.4 inches. This is the one. This is of the eighth grade graduation. And she put a border around it and stuff. It's really fun. Let me show you. They get big, though. This is the biggest one. This is fracture.me. This is a picture I took in the Galapagos. I'm very fond of it. So I print it. 21.6 inches by 28.8 inches. But look at that. You hang that over your fireplace on the mantle, or you hang it on the wall, and it's just beautiful. You get portrait, landscape, or square format. If you want to add borders, as we often do, you can do that. If you don't want borders, you can do that. They have an advanced editor. You can change the border color. Fracture process makes the color and contrast of these photos just sing. Just sing. And the sleek frameless design. This is my son's high school graduation picture. It's a picture of him and his sister. I made it black and white and sent this to the whole family has it. And it's, what a great gift. They just love it. Fractures come with a 60-day happiness guarantee. You're sure to love your order. Each fracture is handmade. Oh, this is one of my favorites. Handmade in Gainesville, Florida from U.S. source materials. It's a carbon neutral factory. This is a picture of the railroad to Machu Picchu. I just love that. See, if that was just, you know, in my photo albums, my Google Photos, I'd never see it. But now I have it on the wall, and it's just gorgeous. Visit fracture.me and use the code TechGuy15 at checkout. You'll save 15% off your first order. And they have a little one-question survey at the end there. Would you please put the Tech Guy in when they ask? Because it really helps support the show. Fracture, and I want to order more of these. Fracture.me. Fracture.me and use the offer code TechGuy15 for 15% off your first order. And we thank Fracture for bringing my photos back from the digital archives so I can enjoy them. Here's another one from high school graduation. I always show this one too because I feel like Henry and his buddies look like Sinatra and the Rat Pack. He's giving me such a look. I feel like he's like, are you taking another picture, Dad? I don't want you to take another picture. Enough with the pictures. But that's why I made it black and white, because it's kind of timeless. Fracture.me. And use the offer code TechGuy15 to check out. 8888-ASK-LEO. That's the phone number. Back to the phones we go. Brian, Fairview, Tennessee. Hey, Brian.
How are you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Hanging in like a hair in a biscuit.
Oh, dear. I get you. You get me every time, Brian. What can I do for you?
Well, I am time to upgrade my external drive. I have a MacBook Pro, the new one.
All right.
And by the way, the new laptop, I needed to go to a faster, beefier laptop just because I work in Parallels.
Oh, yeah.
My job.
You run Windows on your Mac.
Yeah, I have to. I don't have a choice. So I went with the i7 with their new laptop.
Yeah, and lots of RAM. You want lots of RAM?
I got 16 gig.
Unfortunately, the max.
The keyboard sucks.
Oh, don't say that word, but it does, doesn't it? It begs you to say that word. It is the worst.
Everybody tells me just keep using it. You'll get used to it.
No, you don't.
But
Some people do.
But anyway, what I was using before on the previous laptop was, you know what, and I don't even remember the name of it, but it was just a, it's just
doesn't
a
matter.
Terabyte.
They're generic. They're external drives, USB drives, right?
But it was a spinning disk, and right. and also it was USB 3. And you know what, this new laptop, everything's USB-C. So I've done a little bit of research, but before I buy something, I know the two I'm kind of looking at, but before I'd love to ask you, I mean, I think the option here is, and remember, I've got to run parallels on it all day.
So
8 to 10 hours.
The fastest external drive would be to use the Thunderbolt 3. Your new MacBook Pro has a Thunderbolt 3. Those C ports. So this is very confusing about USB-C. USB-C is just a physical connector. It can represent a USB port or a Thunderbolt port. In your case, it is a Thunderbolt port and a Thunderbolt 3 port, which is capable of, I think, I want to say 40 gigabytes a second. I can't remember. It's a very fast port. So
but I don't think the new laptop has that Thunderbolt, does it? All of
yeah,
them
yeah.
is the USB-C, four of them.
Yeah. Yeah, they're Thunderbolt 3 ports. So if you want, I mean, it's up to you. If you want a maximum speed.
I want maximum speed, yeah.
I thought you had a need for speed. So, you know, my favorite, they're not a sponsor, but I just buy all my stuff from them, is Otherworld Computing, for Macs anyway. They really specialize in Macs. And they sell Thunderbolt 3 external drives, but they're not cheap. Take a look, for instance, at their Envoy Pro EX. It's an SSD. The capacities go up to 2 terabytes, although that's going to cost you $1,700. I would probably go. I know. I would go with the 1 terabyte, which if you get the slower one is $599.99. And if you get the fastest one, the extreme performance, it's $979.99 for a terabyte. But that is going to give you, it's bus powered. That's one thing that's nice about that USB-C port. You can do 100 watts on USB-C, which means it can power even a very large hard drive. A lot of the,
well, what I wanted to try to do is also get a larger one because, but being back into photography again,
yeah. Well, I'll tell you what I bought for my, I bought for my iMac Pro something a little slower. But I wanted more capacity, so it has 8 terabytes. It's an enclosure that does USB 3.1. It's not, it's Type C, but it's not Thunderbolt 3. So that's a little slower. It's also a little slower because it's 2 drives in what we call scary RAID, RAID 0, where the drives are interleaved to speed up writes. But if either one of the drive fails, the whole thing goes. So you want to make sure you have a good backup. But if you want, you know, inexpensive, good price, that's a great way to go. Let me, I have to look at my, Amazon orders to remember what the name of it was. It was some weird off brand, not off brand in the sense of bad. I've bought a number of stuff from, it might have been from Akitio, A-K-I-T-I-O. But I gotta tell you, Thunderbolt 3 is weird because, Akitio makes some Thunderbolt 3 enclosures that only work with Windows. That means they wouldn't work even if you're using Windows in parallel. They wouldn't work with that Macintosh. They need to have Windows hardware on the other end. So you want to make sure, since you're using a Mac, that you get one that is Macintosh compatible.
Okay. So I want to go SSD, it sounds like. I don't want spinning.
Yeah, so what I got was from a company called, I don't know if this is a good one, although I've had no trouble with it, Oyen, O-Y-E-N Digital. And it was their, I was looking around, this is the one I could find, Mini Pro RAID. It's $100 for the enclosure. So you get the drives separately, and you could put into it any laptop-sized drive, which means you could put two Samsung 950 Evos in there, and you could have 2 terabytes.
It does SSD, obviously, right?
Yeah. Any laptop.
Oh, there you go.
Yep. Any laptop drive. And now it's not as fast as Thunderbolt 3, but it's a lot less expensive. Thunderbolt 3 is very expensive, but it can be
The one I've been leaning towards is what I'm seeing with LaCie. Two guys have pushed
very expensive. Mac people love Lassie. I don't know if Lassie is as good as it used to be. They got bought by, I think, Seagate.
Did they?
Yeah. So before you get all excited, as Mac people do, oh, Lassie, it's the best. Remember, it's Seagate now. But Lassie makes great stuff. There's also Mac folks love the Go drives, the G drives. And these are also very, very expensive. I think because, frankly, G Technologies, G drives, because they're being sold to Mac people. To be honest with you.
No, I don't. Yeah, that doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. the two friends were definitely Mac guys.
Yeah. So you can get G Technology is a good one. Lassie, Lacie is good. I wouldn't go with Lassie anymore because I really don't think Seagate is making it a premium product anymore. It used to be a premium product. I think it's just now another Seagate brand.
Well, the second
although
one
somebody's telling me, oh, great, now G Technologies Western Digital. Oh, man.
Oh, you're kidding.
Oh, man. So here's what you want. You want Samsung EVO drives. Okay, those are the best SSDs.
Okay.
And you want an enclosure that will handle Samsung EVO drives. They're 2.5-inch. I think they're 2.5-inch SSDs. So I would
wire
just...
Gutter,
what do wire cutters say?
Suggest the new Samsung T5. That's their pick.
Yeah, no.
But I'm seeing some things in them that if you use parallels with that, they get real hot.
Yeah, they get really hot. I have some of these Samsung portable drives. This is for backup. This is not for day-to-day use.
That's what I was reading in the comments.
Yep. Do not do that. They're great for backup because you can have these, you know, giant drive that'll fit in your pocket. It's, you know, tiny. I would look at an enclosure that'll let you put two Samsung EVOs in. If you want to be, if data integrity is important, you'll run them in RAID 1, which is redundant, but it'll cut the size in half. If size is more important and you're doing backups, if you're working with video, for instance, you're not worried about, you know, you're going to be doing a project and then it's over and you save the files later somewhere else, then do it RAID 0, scary RAID. That gives you speed and capacity.
Any specific Oyen you're talking about?
Oyen was I'll put the link in the show notes, the one I bought, $99. It's on Amazon. It's just an enclosure, and then you'll add your own drives. Akitio, AKITIO, is very good. But again, you want to get one that is Mac compatible. This is now the choice would be whether you want to go USB 3 or you want to go Thunderbolt 2. Thunderbolt 2 will be faster, but maybe faster than the drives, right? So you really have to make sure that you have drives that will keep up with the bus, the connection.
Yeah, that's all hard to keep up. There's got to be a good site somewhere that gives
No, you know why? Because this is so new, and Thunderbolt 3 is so ill-supported. There's lots of information about USB 3.1 over Type-C. Very hard to find good Thunderbolt 3 stuff. I trust MacSales.com. If you don't mind paying, you know, a little more because you're getting Apple, poor Apple people, they see us coming. They say, well, I spent a little 50% Apple tax on their laptop. They don't mind a little Apple tax on the hard drive enclosure, do they? So they see you coming. But I think that you can trust Otherworld Computing, OWC, at MacSales.com. This is a confusing, very confusing environment because Thunderbolt 3 has not really taken off. It's been around for a long time now. It's just not really taken off. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. So, I'll show you the OIN.
Yeah, that's what I'm really interested in.
This was cheap. This is not the one I bought. They make a number of them. Let me show you the one I bought. They're cheap. They're just enclosures. I think this, let's see, SATA USB. And I think USB 3.1 is probably fast enough, honestly, given the real premium that you pay for Thunderbolt 2.
Do those only fit one or fit two?
The one I have fits two. I have, but I put two 4 terabytes in it for eight. It's the Mini Pro RAID V3 USB 3.1 Type-C dual bay enclosure. Now, you can buy it populated, but I wouldn't since you say you want to put SSDs in there. You'd put two. You can't get more than 15 millimeters. So, but I think the Evos will fit. So two and a half inch Evo 950s in there, and that would be pretty darn fast. It's bus powered, which is great. The USB-C gives you enough juice from the laptop that you don't have to plug it into the wall.
And now, the other thing to remember, I'm packing this in a backpack back
perfect.
And forth to coffee shops and everything. Yep. That'll work fine for
Yeah, that's the nice thing. You don't have to take a power brick with you. It's fairly small, but it's a lot of I have 8 terabytes on this sucker. But I back it up.
Question.
I back it up to my Drobo Mini because I don't trust it.
Right. So I see a power plug on the back of it. So
you don't have to, though.
You don't have to. Okay,
you don't have
that's
to.
That's what I wanted to know.
As long as you're going off USB, you know, Type-C can go up to 100 watts. That's enough wattage for this. And you get dip switches to choose Scary RAID, RAID 0, which is the fastest, largest capacity. You could use a redundant RAID, which is RAID 1. And then I wouldn't use JBOD I would use RAID 0. That's what I'm using on it. And it's fine. It's reliable. It's not super fast. It's not super fast, but with those Evos, it'll be pretty fast. And then the Evos are fairly cheap now. So $100
Evo
for the
Evo is SSD.
That's the Samsung. That's the best SSD. And you don't need the Evo Pro. Just get the regular EVO 850.
Okay.
And that's
so you're saying 3.1 is another word for Thunderbolt 2 or 3?
No, they're not related.
See, this is what bugs the hell out of me.
So you've got a Type-C connector on that laptop.
And I still don't know this stuff.
You've got it. I know, it's crazy. You got a Type-C connector on that laptop. That's a physical type. That's that round connector. The chip on the other side of that in the MacBook Pro, is a Thunderbolt 3 chip. But there are lots of laptops where it's just USB 3.1. Thunderbolt, that port, though, on the MacBook Pro will do it all. Power. Video, you could support a monitor with it, Thunderbolt 3 and USB 3.1. Thunderbolt 3's enclosures are really expensive. That's when you're talking about the Akitio or, you know, the G technology. Those are really expensive, the Lossies. They're very expensive. They're very fast, but you're talking thousands of dollars.
Yeah. I'm confusing the port type with the prototype.
Everybody does.
I know.
Because you see the physical port. That's a Type-C connector. But that doesn't tell you what it's capable of. Apple made it capable of everything, which means Thunderbolt 3, video, type USB 3.1, power, everything. So, but I think USB 3.1, well, you're doing, you also have to figure out, you're going to do 4K video on it?
I'm not doing any video. I don't do video.
All right. Don't worry about it. You don't only need that speed if you're recording 4K
video. All I want to do is run my parallels at the best speed I can get.
You'll be fine.
And then I'll have another section for photography.
Yep.
So I want to get something a little more space.
Get that oil in. He's been everywhere. He's Johnny Chet. He's breathing the fresh air across the deserts bare. Johnny Chet joins us every week to talk about traveling better with tech. I'm in the airport at LAX. Thinking I should have said hi to Johnny, but I could see you're not in the airport at LAX, Johnny Chet. Where are you? Where have you gone?
I am home.
Oh, you're just not in your basement office?
No, I am actually under the weather. I'm sick.
You look good. You actually look like Johnny Cash.
I don't know if that's a compliment.
You're the man in black. So Johnny is world traveler. I was going to say, I was at LAX, and they have, you can get Boingo Wireless there. And lo and behold, it says, Johnny Chet says, and they quote you.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So I got it. I bought the pass because I wanted the speed.
Well, I've been sick almost all week. So I was supposed to fly to Florida to see my dad.
Yeah.
Bring him some stuff, and I had to cancel last minute.
Stay home.
Yep. I can't get him sick.
You didn't get the flu, did you?
No, I don't know what I have. I had a mild low grade temperature, and now I just took my temperature now, and it's much higher. So.
Oh, okay. We'll finish this up. We're going to talk about a website and an app, and then I want you to go to bed, Johnny. Drink plenty of fluids. Take two aspirin, and call me tomorrow.
We're all sick. My wife had her in-laws, her family in town, and the little girl, or my niece, was sick, and she got us all sick.
That's who got you sick. Yep. That's why I don't leave a house. I stay home. Nobody comes over.
They stayed at our house.
Yeah, I don't know. Nobody comes over. JohnnyJet.com. You can't get sick from visiting the site. Lots of great stuff in there. Always a pleasure to visit, Johnny. And now that you're home, you're probably posting a lot more stuff on the website.
I should, although I've just been laying in bed and watching the Olympics.
Even better.
Crying at the news. But, hey, so last week I talked about the CDC map, about showing the worst flu outbreaks.
Yes,
of course,
yes.
I jinxed myself.
Immediately
and I
got sick. Yeah.
Yeah, but someone in the chat room or someone sent me an email that would listen to it and said, hey, here's a better one. It's called Real Doctors Report, and the website is doctorsreport.com, and it's a website and an app. So it actually tells you, it uses real data from almost a million doctor's offices across the U.S., and supposedly highly timely and accurate. They just take out all the personal information of the people's names and stuff like that, and it will track, you know, what the following diseases, like flu, strep, bronchitis, pneumonia, you name it, colds. And you can break it down too by age group, infant, toddler, school age, teen, you know, whatever. And you put in the zip code, city, and it will show you. So if you're traveling, you know where to stay away from.
Yeah.
But obviously it doesn't matter where you put in. On the plane, you really got to be careful. You know, make sure you keep your hands away from your face and wash your hands often. I wipe down the seats with alcohol-based sanitary wipes.
Because you can't help it if relatives come over and get you sick.
No, you can't. But it also, in a lot of places, people don't realize, actually, one of the dirtiest places on the plane is actually the overhead bin latch.
Yeah.
People don't think about that. And also, you got to do the same thing with a car rental when you rent a car or the hotel room, of course.
Yeah.
So that's that.
Flu is very severe. Don't get it. Stay healthy. Get your shots next year.
I got my shot.
And you still got – well, you don't know what you got. You might have a cold.
Yeah.
Could just be.
And the flu shot is only like 36%.
Yeah. More effective with kids, though. And so it's really sad. I think something like 70 children have died now. It's terrible.
More. Well, Jack had his shots. And then the doctor's like, don't put him on a plane. So that's why we've been home. We canceled his schedule.
Good.
So – I got another one for you.
Yes, sir. By the way, that doctor's report does have an iOS and Android app.
Yes, it does.
Yes.
Yes. So when I travel, one thing I have to make sure that I keep watering my plant when I'm supposed to. I've had this one plant.
I don't have plants anymore. They just die.
Well, I've had one plant since college.
What?
Yes. And sadly, I only have one plant because my wife has the same problem as you do. She keeps killing the plants.
You're Johnny Green Thumb. I'm going to call you Johnny Green Thumb from now on.
So for this plant, I have a reminder. I use Follow Up Then, which is a great little service. It sends me an email for whatever I need. I just say every 2 weeks.
Remind me to water my plant. That's nice.
Yeah.
And that's an email reminder?
That is an email reminder. Nice. It's called followupthen.com. Although that's not what I'm featuring right now. I'm doing an app called Happy Plant, which is a free iOS app.
Yeah.
And so this one takes it to another level, especially for people who have multiple plants. I mean, I would love to have tons of plants, but we travel so much.
Maybe this could be the solution.
Well, it might be. So what you do, it'll give you three free plants. And what you do is it'll tell you, you can set unique reminders, like when to water each plant. You can take a picture of each one every time you water it, and they'll make like this, supposedly this like, crazy epic video of showing you how your plant has changed over time. And it also just gives you reminders when to set reminders to water your plants. And I know that's a problem for people who travel a lot because it's usually the last thing on your mind. You come back and you got a dead plant.
I always wanted my house to be full of ferns. I don't know why. It's some sort of weird Victorian obsession.
I don't like ferns.
I love them, and I want them hanging everywhere. I want to be in a jungle, but I know that I would be in a brown, just mess of dead plants in about a month, so I don't do it. But maybe this will – happyplantapp.com.
Yeah, happy plant.
I love it.
Reminds me of when I got married. I had like Natalie's little cousin, like 12 years old, came up to me and said – happy wife, happy life.
10 years like, old. He knew that already.
I was like, thanks for the advice.
That's great. Happy plant? I don't know what's happy.
Yeah, I'll have to think of something.
Something's happy.
Happy home.
Johnny, I hope you feel better soon.
Thanks, buddy.
Take care of yourself. Don't get sick.
Next time you come through LAX, let me know.
Yeah. No, I'm glad I didn't. No,
I wouldn't have come to see you, but if I was healthy, I would have taken an In-N-Out burger for a quick.
We have In-N-Out up here. We're not. This is not.
But one by LAX is the best. And actually, if you saw Dave Letterman's new show on Netflix, he just was there with George Clooney
at the In-N-Out by LAX. Yeah. Oh, that's hysterical. And actually,
I got a plug real quick, if you don't mind. I shot a video for Allianz Travel Insurance with my buddy Lee Abamonte, and part of it was at LAX at In-N-Out because I did a short layover at LAX in LA, and he did a long layover, and we had some really cool stuff. Which a lot of people don't know about in LA. One of them is there's a really there's an airport in Compton that a lot of people don't know about, and they do celebrity helicopter tours, and it's supposed to be the best helicopter tour in LA. We had a party there the other guy.
Write
the guy
this down.
Yep, and he's amazing. They also do biplanes, so if you ever want to go on a biplane, you can do it by 30 minutes, 60 minutes, and you can do like a leisurely ride along the coast, or you can do the crazy sick.
What is a celebrity helicopter tour? Do they buzz the celebrities' houses?
No, they do actually go over some of the houses.
That must drive them nuts. Yeah, there's that damn helicopter again.
Yeah. So the museum there is actually called Tomorrow's Aeronautic Museum at the Compton Woodley Airport. I didn't even know there was one, and my buddy's one that told me about it, and then so we filmed part of it there.
I got to check it out. So where can we find this beautiful Allianz video?
I will tweet it out. It's on my homepage now, actually.
JohnnyJet.com. Follow him on Twitter, @JohnnyJet. His Instagram, full of nothing right now.
Yes.
He only posts healthy pictures, no unhealthy pictures, is JohnnyJet. And, of course, he joins us each week to talk about it. But feel better, Johnny. Feel better.
Buddy.
You know, you're getting nice weather down there. I went when we – what we always do, I don't know why, but we stayed at the Marina Del Rey Hotel, and we always just get bikes, and we go down the Strand.
Hey, Jeremy!
I could have just knocked on your door, but I'm glad now that I didn't.
Yep.
We go down the Strand. We'd like to see – we go all the way to the pier and back. It's so much fun.
So how'd you like that hotel? It's fairly new. I like it.
It's not, you know, it's fun. They have a picture there of how it used to look 40 years ago, and there was nothing around it. It was like nothing. It's amazing how built up it got over the last half century.
I went to the opening night party there.
It's beautiful. I really liked it. We had the only negative, the bed was very squeaky.
Okay, I didn't stay there, but they have a great restaurant there too, right on the water.
The Salt restaurant was delicious.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you, JJ. Feel better soon. JohnnyJet.com. More of your calls coming up. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the singing tech guy. 8888 Ask Leo. The phone number to line four. We go, Stephen in Riverside, California. Thanks for hanging on, Stephen. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, how you doing, Leo?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful.
What can I do for you today?
So I've got a little bit of a situation. Well, a friend of mine had a little bit of a situation. She is she's an elderly lady.
Yeah.
And on New Year's, she was alone and she fell.
Oh dear.
And she could not get up, and she was literally on the floor for 12 hours.
Oh.
Yeah. And so she went, she got one of those necklaces with the button,
Yeah, you see them on TV. You see them on TV all the time. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm not sure that that's going to do it. And I would love for her to have a device that she can, she's on the floor, she can use her voice to command it to call somebody and get a hold of somebody that can help. And so I've done a little bit of research. I've been looking into the Google Home devices and the Alexa devices.
You know, I've actually talked to people who we had a caller who said, I fell. I couldn't get up. I think he broke his hip. I'm trying to remember. And he used his Amazon Echo to call for help. Now, the problem with the Echo is you can only call other Echoes. But the Google Home, you can make phone calls.
That's what I was wondering. I called Google and I called Amazon. They want much.
Well, nobody wants you to do that. Nobody wants you to use it for emergency services. They're afraid of the liability.
Yeah.
But you can totally use the Google Home to place phone calls. You probably wouldn't call 911 with it, but you could certainly call a friend or you, and say, "Have I fallen? Can you come over and help me?" I wouldn't get rid of the medical alert system because that works even if the phones are out. You know, this won't work if the internet is out and that kind of thing. But
okay,
yeah. So I wouldn't abandon the medical alert. So which one did you get?
Yeah, and I wasn't thinking to abandon it. I was thinking, you know,
most of them use either the phone or a cellular, which is nice because that seems to last. You know, and that even when the power goes out and that kind of thing, those things seem to work. Somebody's telling me in the chat room saying, no, you can use the Echo's Connect feature to call out and make emergency calls. My experience with it is it's not as easy to use as the Google feature. This Echo thing is new, this Echo Connect. I think Google's really good. It's also fun for older folks because they can play games with it. They can talk to it. They can ask for music. I think these in-home voice assistants from Amazon, Google, now Apple with the HomePod, and there's one with Cortana, Microsoft's Cortana from Harman Kardon. They're very appealing to older folks. We got my in-laws. We got them an Amazon Echo, and they just love asking for Elvis music, and they listen to it all the time. So and my mom loves her Amazon Echoes. I got her the Echo Show, which has a screen and a camera, so she can make phone calls to me and see the grandkids. I was making pasta one afternoon. I had her sitting next to me, helping me. She could see what we were doing. I could see her. That was pretty cool. The Echo Connect requires a smartphone to connect with. So I think the Google is probably a better way to go, frankly.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
I have a little bit of a question as to how far they can hear. I have no idea what these devices can do. So,
well, they're designed with a special kind of microphone called an array mic that is designed to pick up normal voice across the room. So, if she's in the bedroom and it's in the kitchen, yeah, not so much unless she can really bellow. But if she's in the same room with it, she just needs to talk in a normal voice and just say, you know.
And I'm assuming that multiple devices can.
Yes, I would get one for every room. I would. I did. I can. And by the way, there's other great features. You can tie this if you get. I have smart lights. I have the Philips Hue lights, but these work with a variety of smart lights. And when I enter a room, the lights turn on. I can, as I leave the room, I could say, okay, you know who, turn off the lights. The lights will go off. I could say, make it a tropical sunset. It'll make it a tropical sunset. So there's lots of, home. You can have it check the door, speak to the doorbell at the door. If you have one with a screen like the Echo Show, you can actually see the door. I can ask my show who's at the door and see it. So for seniors or people with mobility issues, these things are really, I think, a boon. But it takes somebody like you to set it up, right?
Yeah. With that in mind, is there any, I know there's the electronic door locks.
Yep, it works with those.
You know, on the market.
Does it? Are there any what?
Any door locks like deadbolt latches?
Yeah, they all. Yeah, Schlage, Kwikset, they all work. So what happens when you get
able to unlock it?
Yes,
with her voice.
She could say, "Open the door, unlock the
that
door."
Would be awesome.
So if she fell, she could call you. She could say, "When you get there, you could call her." She could answer the phone on the Google Home. She could say, "Open the door for you." Absolutely.
That sounds like what we're looking for.
Yeah. I would keep the medic alert or the home alert system just for
absolutely
backup, and she's got it around her neck. It's easy. But I think that for people with mobility problems, these voice assistants, and I've heard from many, many people, these voice assistants are great. They're a really good solution. I love them. I have them everywhere. You know, and it makes you immobile, makes you lazy. You can have the Google one can also control a TV. So she can say, while she's waiting for you to come, turn on Oprah or whatever and watch TV. Lots of things you can do with it. I think it's great. You probably Lenny's making a good point. We should program. You can't use it for 911, I think, but but you can program local non-emergency numbers, friends' numbers, things like that. This is a growing category. Right now, Amazon's the leader by far. More devices out in the field, more capabilities, but Google's catching up very fast. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, on we go with the show to line two, George in Santa Monica, California. Hi, George.
Hi, Leo. Good afternoon. I have a problem with DirecTV. They recently changed the size of the text on their program, you know, program page where you look at what programs are playing.
Yeah, yeah.
The text is about 20% smaller than it used to be. And I'm visually impaired.
Oh, how frustrating.
I have to get off my couch and go up to the screen to see what shows are on. And I just wonder, is there any way that... It's funny, the people in the high towers, they don't think when they're doing this that people might have a problem with smaller text.
How frustrating is that, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
So
I don't know if there's anything we can do. Like on a computer, you can change the text.
Yeah, and I'm looking... at the DirecTV forums to see if you can do that. You can customize the program guide, but I don't think you can. Let me keep looking to see if you can. You know, one way to do it would be to change the screen size for the directory to a larger screen size. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Our show today brought to you by the good folks at Quicken Loans, you know, the best lender in the country, number one in customer service, customer support, loan approval. J.D. Power says number one in customer satisfaction for 8 years running, and now they're number one in our hearts as geeks because Rocket Mortgage, Quicken Loans has created the completely online mortgage approval process. They realized, you know, Quicken Loans, I mean, they make more loans than almost anybody in the country. They realized the mortgage approval process was kind of feeling a little creaky. You go to a bank, guy shows you his fancy calculator, then you got to go home. It's not even over. You got to go home and get all the stuff from the attic or the pay stubs and call the bank, say, can I get my statement from 2014? Things like that. Crazy. Not with Rocket Mortgage. The whole process can be done so simply on your phone. You just answer a few questions to, by the way, you know the answers, name, address, birthday, that kind of thing. You know all that stuff off the top of your head. And then because they have partnerships with all the financial institutions, all you have to do is share your information and they'll go, okay, thank you. We're ready. Crunch the numbers. Based on your income, your assets, and your credit, they will offer you the loans you qualify for. You pick the term, you pick the down payment, you pick the rate. It's all completely transparent. No commitment until you say, yes, that's the one I want, and then boom, you're in. It's a great way to shop for a loan, too. RocketMortgage.com/techguy. You can do it all on your phone. You could do it. It's so quick, just minutes. You could do it at an open house, and before you leave, say, just want you to know we're going to make an offer. We're approved. We're approved. RocketMortgage.com/techguy. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org, number 3030. By the way, now is the time to refi. Rates are going up. This is it. Lock those rates in now. RocketMortgage.com/techguy. To buy, to refi. RocketMortgage.com/techguy. We thank them so much for their support of the Tech Guy Podcast. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Yes, time to talk computers and the internet and home theater and digital photography and smartphones and smartwatches. You know, all that jazz. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number if you want to talk high tech. 888-827-5536. Toll free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada, outside that area, you can still call. Just use Skype out or something like that. Call. Shouldn't cost you anything. Let's go to San Diego. Bob is next on the line. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Leo.
Welcome.
I've got a problem. I'm talking to you on an answering machine that is old and worn out. And where can I find a new one? Does anybody still make
it? Nobody uses it. What are you talking about, Bob? Nobody uses answering machines anymore. They do voicemail.
Voicemail.
Yeah, I've seen answering machines. Do you? Is it a wireless, a cordless phone?
No, it's a regular telephone that plugs into the wall, and this one is General Electric Pro Series Communication Center Model 2-9980.
That's okay. You can still get them from AT&T. Makes them. Panasonic makes them. Most of them are cordless. I don't know if you care about that or not, but the reason is they have a base station for the cordless part, right?
I see.
And the base station has the answering system built into
it. Yeah, this thing just plugs into the wall like a regular telephone. Before this one, I had, I think the name was Codaphone.
Yeah.
Codaphone. Into the wall like a regular telephone.
Yeah, I remember those.
A regular telephone, and then there's an answering machine part that records onto a micro tape cassette.
Yeah, they don't do that anymore. It's all digital now.
Yeah, I'm really sorry. When this one started to wear out, I went to Radio Shack and bought their...
They're gone too now, you know.
I didn't like it, and I brought it back, and now there's no radio.
They're gone too. They're all gone now. Do you mind if it's a cordless? Because there's a lot of those. I don't see a lot of answering systems without cordless phones. I think probably people just don't buy cordless phones. Oh, wait a minute. Here's one. Yay. Here's a corded phone.
Yeah.
It's corded and cordless. Panasonic. Yeah. It has, but it doesn't have an answering machine. Darn it. Oh, man. I'm so close. Oh, yeah. Basically, tough. I would say I like Panasonic's.
Yeah.
They use the cordless system they use called DECT 2 is very good these days. It's as good as wired, in my opinion. So you have the advantage of you can actually wander around while you're talking to somebody. And they do have, they absolutely do have answering machines. They're digital now, no cassette. They record on a digital chip. You can leave, it's very much like your old answering machine. And the reason these are starting to die out, I think, is because most of the phone companies now offer voicemail. I'll tell you what's really dying out is landlines. Most people under 25 don't have landlines anymore. They're just because you got a cell phone. What do you need? And that has a voicemail and all that stuff. But I like Panasonic's. You can look on Amazon. I'm sure Best Buy, Staples, you know, the last few brick and mortar stores out there. Don't go to Radio Shack. Wow. Yes, Staples has them. AT&T makes the one at Staples. But, AT&T's probably fine. You should be able to get them. They're just not no more little cassettes. But remember, those cassettes always got all messed up and everything. I wouldn't miss those. No. Jim, Laytonsville, Maryland. Hello, Jim. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. I tell you, after listening to you talk about Rocket Loans, is it, or
Rocket Mortgage?
Right. Yeah. I want, even though I don't need a loan, I want to go out and get one.
I'm a good salesman, aren't I?
You are. Well,
let's save this. We're going to save this call and send this over to Quicken Loans.
There you go.
He doesn't even want a house. He doesn't even need one, but he's going to get a mortgage anyway.
Yeah, I actually refinanced about 2 years ago. You were
smart.
7/8.
Yeah, can you believe that? You won't see that again for a while, I don't think.
I don't think so either.
What can I do for you, sir?
Well, this is a crazy thing. About, I want to say a month ago or maybe 2 months ago now, I have a desktop computer. I'm an old person. I'm 73. I bought it about probably 4 years ago now, and I specifically bought it from Staples. It's an HP. And I wanted it because it had Windows 7 on it. I didn't want to try to learn Windows 8 at the time.
Fair. You were right, by the way.
Yeah. Anyway, I've been using it. It's working fine, everything. But about 2 months ago, here's what happens. I use Outlook to do my email.
Yeah.
And receive them. That's fine. Everything's working wonderful. I exit out of Outlook. And then I go on to Internet Explorer, and look up something on the internet. Doesn't matter. I can go to, you know, the any site. Can go to anywhere at all. I review things, check things, whatever. And then I exit out of the internet. And after about 5 seconds, my mouse freezes up.
Oh, dear.
It just stops. It sits there. And it varies. Sometimes it's, 15 to 30 seconds. Other times it's 5 minutes. And I've experimented. I just waited. I'm going to see how long this thing lasts, you know. And, sometimes it lasts 5 minutes or longer. And I get tired of waiting. And nothing works on the keyboard. Nothing. While it's frozen. And so sometimes I have to push the button on the desktop to reboot, which I don't like doing because that gets me in more trouble.
No, yeah, you don't want to do that if you can avoid it. It's interesting because it's not crashing. It's just not – it's become non-responsive.
Well, I think there's something running in the background. And
yes,
I had a friend come
over
a week.
I think you're exactly
ago.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And he and I went through it piecemeal by looking to see what's running. And there was all kinds of junk running. So we eliminated a bunch of stuff, everything we could figure on that I didn't need. We got rid of all that kind of stuff, and it seems a little better, but, yesterday and today, same thing happened. It's didn't solve it, but it helped.
So have you tried other browsers besides Internet Explorer? Have you tried Google's Chrome browser or Firefox?
No, I haven't tried any of those.
What we're trying to do is figure out what's going on. I mean, this is not unusual. The Windows over time... I've heard people call it bit rot. It gets crufted up and things get messed up and something's going. You nailed it, which is that something is taking over. It's not supposed to, but it is, and it's blocking mouse inputs and keyboard inputs for a period of time, and then it's coming back. There is a task monitor you can run and see what's using
check,
up.
Check the task monitor.
Yeah, and
we,
you don't...
We couldn't find anything abnormal there.
Yeah. Well...
Yeah, we like I said, we've gone through it, but I didn't know if anybody else has ever complained about it.
Oh, yeah. This is I mean, it's not necessarily the same issue as you have, but this is not at all uncommon with Windows. It's kind of the way Windows is. Do you have a backup of your data?
You know what? I have an external drive sitting there, and I unplugged it about 2 years ago. And I'm ashamed to tell you, but I have not made a backup.
Let's get that external drive out of the closet. Plug that in.
Yeah, it's only a foot away from the computer.
Yeah, I think this is time to make a backup pretty urgently because it could be a hard drive starting to go. It could be that a hard drive already is, has lost some of its data, lost its mind somewhat, and that's where it's getting stuck when it's writing out the index. Could be all sorts of things. I think the best thing to do at this point is to back up your data and format the drive, erase the drive, and reinstall Windows. Windows needs that every few – I do it several times a year, but at least yearly. Think of it as spring cleaning. And while this isn't specific to that problem, whatever is going on probably will be fixed by that. So that's my recommendation. It's kind of the old recommendation, reinstall Windows. Sometimes the old ways are the best ways. I would back up your data. It's a good excuse to do that. Get everything in the documents and settings folder for your account, and then start over. Something's getting involved. Now, it could be malware. It could be a bad sector on your hard drive. It could be your browser cache. That's why I thought maybe using a different browser might be an idea. But you do need to do something. Reinstalling Windows would solve all of those problems at the same time. We're going to take a break. Come back with Harold in Riverside. He's wondering if the charging cord he has for his smartphone can be used to transfer data as well. Perhaps. We'll talk about it when we come back. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888-ASK. Leo the Gizwiz coming up in just a little bit. Dick DeBartolo, Mad Magazine's maddest writer with a fun gizmo or gadget. Meanwhile, back to the phones at Harold in Riverside. Hi, Harold.
Hello, Leo.
What kind of phone do you have?
How about a Motorola?
All right. And you have just a USB charging cable, huh?
Yes. It I've heard two stories.
Yeah. Well, first of all, you have to figure out if you have what's called USB OTG or on the go on your phone. So that's why I ask which phone it is. Motorola what?
That I could tell you.
All right. So you can search and see if that Motorola model, you have to find the model, supports OTG or on the go. That, normally those charging ports, those USB ports on a phone are for charging only. But some manufacturers, Samsung was the first, I think one of the first to do this, allow you to connect flash drives, digital cameras, mice, keyboards to that OTG port. Let me actually, though, I should clarify. What do you want to do with your cable?
I want to put some songs on the phone so when I'm in a location where I can't get radio.
Got it. I misunderstood. That, yes, you can do. So when you first plug that phone into a computer using that USB cable, the phone usually will give you a notification saying, you have a USB cable plugged in.
Well, you know, it doesn't do that. It
doesn't do that. All right. Well, then you may have to just go to the settings and look in the settings of the Android. It sounds like it's kind of an older phone. How old is it?
I've probably had it for 2 or 3 years now.
Okay. So there are USB settings in most Android devices, and you can choose whether you want that device to look like a camera when you connect it. That's PTP, I guess, photo transfer protocol. Or a mass media device, like a hard drive, like a USB drive. That's what you want, MTP, media mode. And that will then be able to copy stuff over. On a Mac, you have to download a program called Android File Transfer to do it. On Windows, I think you can just connect it up and it should show up on the Windows drive once you tell the phone to go into MTP mode. Now, you have to obviously use a cable that's got all the wires for transferring data. Some don't. Some are just for charging. But it's a micro USB cable, and I bet you've got a few of those hanging around. If you're like me, you probably have hundreds of them. So,
when I plug it into the computer, it doesn't even put an icon up on the screen.
It doesn't say anything, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it may be a limitation of that phone. If you don't know which phone it is, I'm not sure how to find out. You can look it up, but almost all Android phones, if you plug them in to a Windows machine, will either pop up a message, or you can go into the settings for the phone and say let me see where the USB settings are on a modern Android phone. That might be in a different spot for you a couple of years ago. Where would we see it? In storage? You know what? How about searching settings for USB? How about that, Leo? USB debugging. Sometimes it says that's developer options. We don't want that one. Connect. It's under, it looks like it's under the connected devices. So once you connect it under connected devices, at least in the more modern settings, you'll see a USB entry, and you can choose whether that shows up as a hard drive. Probably what's happening is it's not set. It's set for a mode that doesn't show up on your desktop. But if it's set properly, your desktop should just see it. Now, there's other ways to copy music to your phone. It depends on what program you're using on Windows. I would try DoubleTwist, which is, I think, a really nice Android and Windows program that'll sync kind of like iTunes syncs with iPhones. I think when DoubleTwist was created, it was designed to duplicate that functionality. DoubleTwist Music Player with Sync. It's in the music and podcast player. Well, there you go. It's in the App Store. So just search for DoubleTwist in your App Store, and you can run it on your desktop, and it will just do exactly as iTunes does on an iPhone and a Macintosh. It will sync your music over either via Wi-Fi or via USB connection. That probably is all you really need if that's what you want to copy it over. DoubleTwist.com is the website. DoubleTwist.com. Jamie, Los Angeles, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Jamie. Hey, Jamie, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm great. Who just made you laugh?
I was just chatting with someone while I was listening.
Oh, they're having a good time over there. What can I do for you?
Yeah.
Just a quick question. So I drive a lot and like to use my phone for data, and I like to listen to stand-up comedy or something on Netflix.
Just see, you love to laugh. You love to laugh.
I do.
Have you seen the new Chris Rock special, Tambourine, yet?
Actually, I was just watching that yesterday.
Very funny. He's great. I love him. So that's a good idea, because Netflix, you think of it as video, but of course you can put it on your phone and listen. Yeah.
Right. And so what I've learned to do, because I'm driving, obviously I don't want to be tempted to look at it, is I figured out that you can lock your phone and then unlock it, and Netflix will just give you the audio.
Right.
But what I'm wondering, am I going to burn through a lot of data that way? Is it treating it as video? Or
yeah.
Do I go through
You're still downloading. You're still downloading video. Yeah, unfortunately.
Oh, man.
Who's your carrier?
Verizon.
Yeah. So T-Mobile doesn't charge you for Netflix data. I can't remember if Verizon does or doesn't. But
really?
Yeah. But there are other ways to hear great comedy that will only be audio. There's iHeartRadio. I use TuneIn Radio, which is fun. They have a comedy channel. Pandora. A lot of the music players have comedy channels like Google Play Music, Spotify. So you can listen to comedians. Slacker is another good one. Slacker. I think that's free. They have a comedy channel. They actually have they have a dark comedy channel. And then they have a normal comedy channel. The dark one's wicked. So if you like Chris Rock, you'll probably like the dark channel. But yeah, these would just use audio then. And that's all you need, isn't it? Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I like that too, because you get a variety then. They just do a few minutes of each. We listen to the Slacker. Lisa likes the dark comedy channel on Slacker. It's dark. Our show today brought to you by WordPress. Actually, my blog brought to you by WordPress too, leolaporte.com. WordPress is the number one content management system, number one in my hearts, number one in the world. 29% of the entire internet runs on WordPress. Of all the websites in the world, WordPress runs 29% of them. And it is a great global community. I love WordPress. So now, WordPress, for years I used it, I hosted it myself. That was a big mistake. I was nuts. I was paying more for the hosting and spending more time messing with it. With WordPress.com, they do the hosting and they keep it up to date automatically. Plus, they have hundreds of templates. They have great support, WordPress experts who are there 24 hours a day, Monday through Friday, and eager to help you. They're there on weekends, too. And it's very affordable. Plans start at just $4 a month. You don't need experience. You don't need to hire somebody. WordPress.com is easy to use. You get your own domain name. If you're a business and you don't have a website, man, get going. You get, automatically get the mobile site. You get AMP. There's an AMP plugin, so it runs fast on mobile. You get HTTPS, so it's secure. I can go on and on. It's built-in search engine optimization. I love the social sharing features. It means people can follow you on WordPress.com. That means you're going to get more traffic. Plus, they can share your blog posts, your pictures, whatever it is you're putting on your website. They can share it with their network on Facebook and Twitter and Google Plus and so forth, which really is great. It means they're promoting you too. Make a beautiful website right now, WordPress.com. I use it every day, literally. And you will too. And that's another thing. WordPress makes it fun to post. Come see why 29% of all websites run on WordPress. Get started today with 15% off any new plan purchase. If you go to WordPress.com/tech guy. WordPress.com/tech guy. Create your site. Find the plan that's right for you. Man, I love this stuff. WordPress.com. And they're such nice people. They really are. WordPress.com/tech guy. 15% off your brand new site. Find out why 29% of the internet is powered by WordPress. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888, Ask Leo. I was just looking on Slacker Radio, slacker.com, for comedy. They have many comedy channels. Today's Comedy Explicit, Country Comedy, Comedy Explicit, Comedy, not explicit, I guess. The Weekly Comedy Thing, the Top 30 Stand-Up Countdown, Love Comedy, Dark Comedy, Black Comedy, Silent Comedy. Can't be very interesting. That must be a group. Beards of Comedy, apparently just bearded comedians. I'm not kidding you. So, yeah, don't. There's no reason. I like the idea of having Netflix streaming in the background, but, yeah, that will use more bandwidth. I don't think Netflix is smart enough to say, oh, she's got her screen off. We'll only download the audio version. I don't even think they have audio versions on Netflix. I don't think so. Judy, Virginia, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Judy. Hello, Judy.
Hi. Hi, Leo. This is Judy.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Hi. Leo, my mom is in an assisted living facility.
Okay.
And she's got Parkinson's and dementia.
Oh,
I'm
sorry.
You know how they have those little call strings that you pull to get the nurses there?
Yeah.
The little thing? And she can't pull it.
Oh.
She does have an Amazon Echo device in there that she uses.
Okay.
And I've got a smart plug there.
Oh, nice.
I was thinking, and I don't just know how to do it.
Oh, so you want to wire it together so she could say, Echo, call the nurse.
Exactly. But I don't know how. I need something that's going to flip on with the electricity and pull the cord or pull
so,
the cord
so, yeah,
around.
It depends on how the nurse notification system works. It's a physical thing like a bell cord that you pull?
Exactly. The old bell
wow.
cord. You were ever in a hospital or something
wow.
like that.
See, yeah. A more modern hospital would have a push button that's an electric button. And that,
you know,
if they would let you take it apart, that would be easy to make work. But to pull a cord, you'd need a physical cord puller that would somehow be attached to the internet.
I want to get some sort of motorized device that's attached to the smart plug. And when the electricity kicks on, this little motor goes around and around and somehow pulls the cord.
I love it. Now, here's one thing she could do. You can, if she has an Android phone, use the Amazon Echo to send text messages to a nurse. You could say, text the nurse. But I love this idea. It's a little bit what we call a maker idea, because makers are people who build these it's a Rube Goldberg device, isn't it? That's going to.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah. I've got a little bit of my father in me.
You're love this.
To a 60-year-old lady.
So let me think about this. Yeah. Because this would be fun. This would be a fun project. I don't know how the assisted living facility might feel about it, but Mom would have a good time.
It seems like she should be able to tell the Echo to pull string or something
yeah.
like that. And
yeah.
the electricity would come on, and then some sort of device would pull the string.
The easiest thing to do would be to buy an Echo for the nurse's station and just put one there. And then she could say, call the nurse.
Yeah, you know, actually, I can do that. You know, the dots when they're on.
They'd be thrilled. Are you kidding? They'd be thrilled to have a dot.
Yeah. That's probably cheaper than what I'm.
I know you could do this. You probably, I mean, I yes, we could easily design this thing for you. It costs you more than a dot.
Yeah, okay.
So because we need a physical thing that would attach to the string, it would go around. You probably would want a Raspberry Pi or some sort of inexpensive small computing device that would be then connecting to the internet, and you would have the Amazon Echo ping it. It wouldn't have to be an elaborate ping, but it would be enough to say to the Raspberry Pi, hey, pull the string. The Raspberry Pi would be connected to a motor. The motor would turn, and it would have to have a pulley device. Let's see. Here's something the chat room's found for us on Amazon. It is to motorize your drapes. It's called Add-A-Motor Drapery Motor.
And, okay.
Yeah, so there you go. So, this would, if it were given power, this would – now, the problem is you – I bet this would work. It's $91.
Oh, that's
but you'd have a heck of a Rube Goldberg device.
Yeah, I guess it's never too late to start being a maker. Yeah.
And it even has a wireless transceiver module you could add to it. It'd be a very simple thing. Yeah, you could totally do this. I should get, we have our own maker here. He happens to be a Catholic priest, Father Robert Ballister.
Yes, I've listened to Father. You know, my own personal father used to listen to you all the time. He passed about 4 years ago, and I've taken over the family tradition of listening to you.
I tell you what, if you email, his email is PADRE SJ at twit.tv. I bet you he would build something to do this, but I can guarantee you it would cost you a lot more than it would just to get a dot, an Echo Dot for the nurse's station.
Yeah, you're probably right, because I have a spare dot in the house. I bought the six-pack when they first came out.
I'm going to point you, though, to the chat room again to the rescue. This is an Amazon Echo-enabled hospital call bell system.
Oh, wow. That's exactly what I want.
Yeah, somebody's built this on Hackster.io. It uses Amazon's voice services and an Amazon skill kit to be the center of a call bell system. It does require Raspberry Pi plus another computer on a board called the chip. It's going to cost you a couple $100.
Well, yeah.
But it'd be a fun project. What was your dad's? What was your dad's name?
My dad's name is Jay, and he would have been so thrilled to know that I was talking to you.
Oh, Judy. Well, I'm sure he's watching over Mom and saying, yeah, let's get Judy to build. He probably put this idea in your head.
Yeah, I'm sure if my dad was alive, he would have built it, and it would have been there.
Oh,
but,
that's so sweet. Well, bless you, and bless your mom. And I'm sorry we lost Jay, but it's great to talk to you. It's great to talk
to
you.
Okay, well, it was great talking to you, too.
Yeah, thank you so much. Okay. Have a great day. Oh, I love this idea. I think this is a great movement. Now, there's a wonderful magazine called Make Magazine that you can subscribe to. And they are filled with crazy Rube Goldberg inventions, all kinds of fun stuff you can build. And I think that a lot of parents are getting involved with their kids making these. I think it's just a wonderful move. They call it the maker movement. People who are actually building their own gadgets. What a great idea. And of course, it's often powered by these inexpensive computer chips, computer systems you can buy. Let's say hi to Hemant in Cerritos, California. Hey, Hemant.
Hey, how are you, Leo?
I'm wonderful. What can I do for you?
Hey, long time listener, first time caller.
Thank you.
Hey. I have one question. You know, I have some data at the office, and I save that data in my USB. Like, I have a SanDisk small one.
Okay.
So I check that USB at the office and says that you have a data. So I bring it to home, and I plug in my computer, and I right-click. Its data is there, but when I click on the folder, it says folder is empty, no data.
Uh-oh. Is this a thumb drive?
Yeah, it's a thumb drive.
Yeah. So these can die. They're really kind of surprisingly fragile. They fail all the time. But there are programs designed to recover data from solid-state devices like that. I'm going to say go to pcrecover.de, or is it pcrecovery.de. They make a smart card recovery program that might work. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. No, I got the URL wrong. Hold on a second. I want to say PC Recover, but it's not. PC. Hold on just a second. I'm on PC. Am I getting it right? PC Recover. Chat room, help me out, because I know you know this site.
It's PC Recovery dot what? D-E?
Well, it was. either they're gone or I've got the wrong address. PC Inspector, that's it. Yeah, PC Inspector.
Inspector.de.
And they make a free tool for recovering. It's a German company. You might have to go to the English language. It's a company called Convar. But they make a free tool for recovering from SSD, which is a little bit different than recovering from other devices. There's also Recuva, R-E-C-U-V-A. But be careful. You shouldn't run more than one of these. If one of them works, that's good. But if it doesn't work, you're probably on, you know, probably not going to be able to get it. Because these things, I mean, I've had SD cards and thumb drives die on me, and sometimes they just die. EaseUS has a free one as well, a USB flash drive recovery tool. Thank you, Tony, in the chat room. EaseUS.com. CCleana makes Recuva, RECUVA. That's another one. All of them work roughly the same way. They inspect the media to see if you're in luck, it just is a damaged sector or two, or maybe the catalog is damaged. But usually what this means is that the whole drive is kind of messed up. So if that's the only copy, you know, but I would try one of these. I think PC Inspector is pretty good, so I would start with that one.
Okay, I will try that. Thank you very much. I really appreciate your help.
You're welcome, Hemant. Good luck to you. Don't stop till you get enough. Let me give you the URL for Hemant. I gave it a wrong URL. It's pcinspector.de. But we will have a list of a bunch of free file recovery tools for SSDs on our website, techguylabs.com. But the one I was trying to remember, pcinspector.de. EaseUS, we've recommended before, they have an SSD recovery tool or a solid-state USB key recovery tool at EASE.us. Both of those are free. So there's a couple of good choices, and we'll have even more at techguylabs.com. Time now for my friend Dick D. Bartolo, Mads Magazine's maddest writer. We call him our Gizwiz because he's a gizmo wizard. Brings us great gadgets each and every week. Hello, Dickie D.
Leo, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing fine, too.
Good. Yeah, I hear you have an unbalanced cable on your roof, but that's
okay. Yes, she was unbalanced cable or unbalanced customer. It was one of those two things.
But Spectrum took care of you, I guess, and so did Amazon, so we're all right.
Exactly, exactly. Good. So, I'm here to talk about – so Dennis wanted a little kitchen scale, and not being able to resist bargains, Chad had talked about something on the Gizmo show a couple of weeks ago, and I figured – this is better than a kitchen scale. So I bought Perfect Drink 2.0 smart scale. Have you ever had one of these?
I have many scales, kitchen scales.
Okay. So this
but
is
I don't
a
have
drink.
This. I don't know what this is. Yeah.
So this has, it comes with 400 drink recipes, or you can go and add more. You can add your own. It comes with a stainless steel little cocktail shaker. So you put that on the scale, download the app. And so about an hour ago, we made some Bloody Marys. So you put it on the scale, and it says put in vodka. You don't, no measuring, no nothing.
You just put it until the scale says stop.
Exactly. There's a picture of a cup, and the vodka rises until it hits the top and you stop. Wow. If you accidentally overfill, doesn't matter. It just changes all the other ingredients. And you do each one, and then it'll tell you if it has to be shaken. It will say lift the cocktail shaker, and a timer will automatically start. But, Leo, the amazing thing is the scale, the stainless steel decanter.
Wait a minute.
It's $20.
What?
It's $20.
That's an amazing deal. I'm gonna have to order. I don't even drink, and I want to order one of these.
That's why I'm doing this.
This is hysterical.
I cannot buy this. I have like one drink a week, but I'm thinking for $20, I'm gonna start drinking more.
Might as well have them all be perfect.
Exactly.
This is a really interesting idea. You don't use a shot glass or any measure. Now, can you make? You can measure other things, obviously. Does it have lemonade mixes recipes?
Actually, if you download their other apps.
Oh, yeah. Blueberry muffins.
Yes, exactly. You can do a lot of things. Now, when I first did the more deluxe version is still on Amazon. It's $100 because it's a stainless steel scale. And instead of needing your phone, a lot of it is on a digital display.
What do you do, though? So I'm looking at the screen, and it shows you as you're pouring, as it fills. What if you go too far, if you pour too much in?
Okay, then it will adjust. It'll say, oops, you put in a little too much. All the other ingredients will now
adjust the rest of them. Brilliant.
And if it's the third ingredient up that you put in too much, it'll say, please follow the down arrow and redo the first two ingredients.
So if you mess up, it'll fix it.
Yeah. And Dennis is very heavy handed. So I have about 4 gallons of Bloody Mary mix.
I think this is, I'm ordering one right now.
When Chad John talked about it, before he finished talking about it, so all I heard was under $20.
Now, they have a perfect bake, if you're not a drinker, that's $20 also, that has a mixing bowl and has cookie recipes and things like that. So
yeah, it's just great.
Not just for alcoholics anymore, I guess.
No, that's, it's not. That's and great. They're easy to use and they're great fun. And they're really inexpensive.
This is interesting. On Amazon, frequently bought together the perfect drink smart scale and the what do you meme adult party game.
Oh,
I guess they go together.
Like, yes, after you've had a bunch of drinks.
Peanut butter and jelly. Wow. Not intended for children in any respect. That's great. Now, if you want to know more about this, Dick has it all on his website. That's instead of me giving you a link or whatever, go to Dick's website, gizwiz.biz, GIZWIZ.BIZ, and click the GizWiz Visits the Tech Guy link. You can also play the What the Heck Is It contest. Is it? It's almost over now.
Almost over.
11 days. Yeah,
13 days. 11 days. Right.
Yeah, 12 because it's leap year, right? Is it leap year?
No, it's not.
Okay, it's not leap year, so you only have 11 days.
Yeah.
Okay.
People don't tune in for math here. It's okay.
Somewhere between 1 and 100 days. But if you want to get an autographed copy of Mad Magazine, go to gizwiz.biz, click the What the Heck Is It contest, come up with a clever description of what that doohickey is. Doesn't have to be right. Just has to be clever, yep. And you could win an autographed Mad Magazine. Thank you, Dickie D.
Okay, buddy. It was great fun.
Don't
Take
forget
care.
Their podcast, okay. Chad and Dick. That's where you find this stuff at gizwiz.tv. Time for one more call. Let's head on out to Zach in Los Angeles. Hi, Zach. Oh, got to push the button.
Thank you for the program.
My pleasure.
Radio, thank you for the program. I really enjoy your program.
Thanks for listening.
I bought a brand new MacBook Pro for my daughter, and I took the old one, and I'm trying to reformat it. And I go through the process, and he's asking for Apple ID and password. By the time I get there, he says temporarily unavailable.
So, yeah, Apple does this to protect your stuff against getting stolen, which I find challenging sometimes because you may not remember the password, but this is even more challenging. It won't, you know the password, but it won't let you unlock it.
Correct.
That's very frustrating. Are you willing to start from scratch on this thing?
Yes.
So try this anyway, which is to restart the machine with Command R held down. Have you tried this?
I have tried it 3-4 times, but it's still going to do the through the same process.
And it has access to your Wi-Fi, right? I mean, it knows.
Yes. Yes.
Because it sounds like it can't get online for some reason.
I don't know, but I'm online. I can see the sign on there.
All right, so you're getting the Wi-Fi, little Wi-Fi signal and all that.
Correct.
That's very odd. So you enter the password, and then it says can't proceed for some reason.
Yeah, temporarily unavailable.
I haven't seen that before. I'm not sure. I think this is... are you near an Apple store? This would be worth showing the Apple store.
Okay, I'll do that.
I think that's what I would do. My guess is it's possibly something wrong with that hard drive. It's the whole idea, and they do this with the iPhone 2 now, is to prevent theft. Maybe she had File Vault turned on. That shouldn't make any difference, though, should it? Got me. Apple could help you with this. They're very good at this. Hey, thanks for joining me. I hope you have a great Geek Week. Leo Laporte,
the Tech Guy.
Well, that's it for the Tech Guy show for today. Thank you so much for being here. And don't forget, TWIT, T-W-I-T. It stands for This Week in Tech, and you'll find it at twit.tv, including the podcasts for this show. We talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on Mac Break Weekly, iPads, iPhones, Apple Watches on iOS Today, Security on Security Now. I mean, I can go on and on. And of course, the big show every Sunday afternoon, This Week in Tech. You'll find it all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next week with another great Tech Guys show. Thanks for joining me. We'll see you next time.